Shows RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branch, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. This is episode, what is this episode? 2, 6, 9, what the fuck? 717. Holy shit, nine. I couldn't find I jumped places, man. It was crazy. 717. Can you believe that? 717 episodes. Gentlemen, how are you? Whatever that was, Breakman. How are you, Eric? You there, Eric? Did we lose Eric?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right, cool.
He's like, I was just waiting for that to finish.
He's like, I'm waiting for that shit to finish. I agree, Eric, wholeheartedly. All right, we are going to have a fantastic show today. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, okay, good. I was recording. I was like, holy shit, I'm not recording. We are going to have, I think, an all-time great tournament. And when we get to it, we'll discuss it. But needless to say, you do have feelings, Breakman.
No, I have feelings.
It's going to be a movie-based one, and it's fantastic. I can't wait to get to it. So let's just get right into the news and get started here.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, you are up, sir.
From RPG site, we've got actually it's from Komatsu. Persona 5 Royals just for these current ports have reached shipments and digital sales totally. So this is combined equal 1 million for the new platforms, and 3.3 million which includes the PS4 altogether.
Yeah, so it surpasses 8.3 million units. I think that's a big deal. It's probably the greatest RPG. I mean, would you agree, Eric? I mean, you said it yourself. You play more RPGs than anybody on the show.
Its biggest problem is that it's probably too long, and it takes a while for the plot to get going in a lot of places.
Yeah.
So it has pacing issues. So.
Pacing issues aside, would you agree that it's the greatest RPG of all time, Eric? I mean, it's got to be pretty close,
no,
right?
But it's up there.
It's got to be close, man. I mean, from what I played, like, it's... I mean, there's nothing not to really like about the game. I don't know. But, well, what would you consider? I mean, I already know mine. Everybody knows that Dragon Quest VIII is the greatest game of all time. But, you know, besides that... No, I'm kidding, Eric. What would you consider the best?
I can't really say that, because I have too many favorites.
Yeah, I know. There's so many out there. I don't know. This one's up there for sure. It's got to be, if not... top one, top three, or five, I'd say. I don't know. I think I'd put it number two for me, but whatever. All right, anything else on that, Eric?
No.
All right, Breakman, next story.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. The 13th month for PC launches December 2nd. That was a short story.
Yeah, I know, right?
well, you
could tell us how much it cost, Breakman. Then
I was looking. I don't see anything. I got a synopsis on the story. I see the voice actors. I do not see a price.
Yeah, the first.
I'm sorry. I scroll past it. My bad. $19.99.
I was gonna say the first sentence, man.
I was down reading way past.
Yeah, it's all good, man. I don't have a trailer for it. Otherwise,
it's
I'd play it.
An adventure game.
Yeah. That's cool. I want to play this, but not on PC. I hope it comes out on, you know,
consoles maybe next year.
Yeah, hopefully, that'll be cool. All right,
it's on the iOS and Android as well, so you can get it there.
I might do it that
since
way.
Since it's an adventure game, it'd be easier to play.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, for sure. Looks like Alessandra got in there. Welcome, and Nina Tella. Are you related to Nutella, Nina Tella? That's, I don't know. All right. Next story comes to us also from Gamatsu. You know what?
It's going to come to mobile. It's not out yet.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. All right. You know, guys, I noticed that not one story was from RPG site this week, which is weird, which is really cool, I guess. All right. Next story from Gamatsu. Grime. For PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, and Xbox One launches December 15th, along free DLC Colors of Rot. Ooh, I like when they do free DLC. That's really cool. So that's from Acapura Games and developer Cloverbyte. Release date for the Switch version not yet announced. And then there's an overview. Some key features: eye-popping surrealism, death-defying combat, living weapons, unique skill progression, challenge astonishing bosses, and then Color of Rot, where you can discover new abilities, new weapons, new enemies, etc., etc., etc. And there is a trailer here. Let me get to the gameplay. This is the game, I believe, that looks that has kind of a side-scrolling kind of a weird art style aesthetic. I think we talked about this before, Eric. It looks pretty cool. I mean, I might give it a try. It's sort of like it looks like it plays like Salt and Sanctuary a bit, but with some new key abilities and stuff like that. So I mean,
it's a 2D Souls game.
Yeah, 2D Souls. There you go. That's good app descriptor. Anything else, Breakman, you want to say on this, or can we safely move on?
It was your news story.
No, I know, but I'm just saying if you
have anything. Yeah, I didn't have anything to add to it.
All right, cool. All right, Eric, next story, please.
Next story is for release date for Amato Anomalies, which is coming out March 10th of next year. And that's pretty much it. We talked about this before, but it's priced at $40, and it's coming to the PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC.
Yeah, I don't think we had a date on it, Eric.
Yeah. It's a turn-based RPG.
With cards, it looks like. Yeah. I don't know. I might play this. Turn-based RPGs always interest me. So, and it's got like a really cool comic book aesthetic to it, too, which is nice. So, it's a little different. Looks cool. I don't know.
It doesn't say anything about cards.
When I was looking at the gameplay, it looked like there were some parts of the game that had card elements, but I could be completely wrong. It could just be a small section, but whatever. It looks good.
Just be the nature of one of the characters attached.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. All right. Anything else on that, Eric?
No.
All right. Breakman, next story,
coming
please.
Live from Gamatsu, Onion Games, new sandbox RPG due out in 2023. Okay. Yoshiro Kimura touches slightly on the game's theme. I don't think we really need to talk about that.
There's only one screenshot, but it looks like it has a cel-shaded style, a minimalist cel-shaded style. But it sort of looks like they were aiming like the comic book Bone. I don't know if you've ever seen that comic book. Crossed with what's that game with the wolf, Eric, where you're doing paint strokes? It came out on
the wolf.
What's that?
For the wolf.
Yes. What game is that?
It's the wolf.
What is the game called, Eric? Do you know?
Okami.
Okami. That's right. Sort of like that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about gameplay, but
because it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like a VOE.
Well, I said minimalist, Eric. Like, if you took Bones and you mixed Okami with Bones, that's what that picture, that screenshot reminds me of. So, just saying what I see.
But this is Onion Games, so you could expect the game to be really, really, really weird.
Yeah. All right. That was yours, right, Eric?
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't do this one, actually.
Oh, was that yours, Break?
I did that one.
All right, so the next story comes to us from Gamatsu. Retro-futuristic text-adventure game Omega 6, the video game by F-Zero and Star Fox Artist, announced for Switch. Okay, so it was based on the manga Omega 6, written by Takaya Imamura. I never read this one. Who was the main art director, character designer, and story writer in F-Zero and Star Fox. It will support English, French, and Japanese language options. Rather than follow the story of the manga, the game will follow a completely original story, as well as feature a number of new characters who did not appear in the manga, in addition to established characters such as Thunder and Killa. While it's a text-adventure game at its core, it will also include battle scenes and other unique features and systems. The game's art direction and graphics are being handled by Inamura, while development is led by Mystery Guide Series Studio, Happy Meal. So there you go. If you want your game with a little bit of McDonald's, here we go. So there you go. And I think that's about it. I never read the manga, but I think I've seen these, you know, I mean, everybody...
I'm not sure if the manga was ever localized in English.
Yeah. Tex Adventure, though. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. Anything else on that, guys, or can we move on from it?
Please move on.
Yeah, right. Eric, you get to do the next story.
You seem so bored.
All right.
What?
Well, we all would probably be bored with that, Eric. All right, Eric, next story.
Next story is about the Utaware spinoff visual novel, Gizoku Tante Nasuri, which is coming to the PS4 and Switch digitally, apparently, December 22nd in Japan.
Yeah, and there's a... They don't really show you much gameplay. What is this, a visual novel, Eric? It looks like
Yeah, because that's the series, basically.
Yeah, yeah. All right, cool.
There might be gameplay, like RPG-like segments like the other Utaware games.
All right. Well, cool. I mean, if you want to further that story, then there you go. All right.
But since it is detective-based, I'm sure that's going to be more...
Yeah.
Leaning more heavily on the adventure aspects rather than the RPG aspects.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Breakman, final story.
Coming to us live from Komatsu, Monster Hunter Rise coming to PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, and Xbox One on January 20th. Wow. And it will be on Game Pass, for those who are wondering. So, yeah, that's an awesome deal. This is once a Switch exclusive, and it's going to be $39.99.
Yeah, but yeah. it's looking pretty good.
Pay $50 for the fucking Sunbreak that's coming out in spring, because I'm sure that you won't be able to play Sunbreak on Game Pass if the game's still on Game Pass when that game's out, because that's what Game Pass does. You have to buy the DLC.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? There is thoughts to that Game Pass is becoming more of a beacon for people to buy DLC. I think people, developers and publishers are going to start, like, demanding that more DLC and less game, and then it's going to be more of a glorified demo. You know what I'm saying? Like, that you'll get a game on Game Pass.
Back, baby.
Yeah. I mean, there is thoughts to that. I think that might be their overall plan, but, you know, nonetheless, whatever. I mean, I guess it's okay. No, not a big, big, big issue, but still. All right. That is the news, y'all. We are completely done with the news. We're on to homie discounts now. Eric, what are the free games on Sony and Xbox for the month?
For Sony, it will be three games, and they are Mass Effect Legendary Edition, Biomutant, and Divine Knockout. Biomutant and Divine Knockout are like, but it's Mass Effect that's most interesting here, because you get three games in one, technically.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like that, but I'm also interested in Biomutant. I don't think that game... I think that game gets too much hate from what I've seen. I want to play that. So I'm happy this month because I don't have that Legendary Edition of Mass Effect, and so I want to go through those Mass Effect games again, and then I want to... play Biomutant too. So that DKL game, I could care less. What do we got for Xbox?
Xbox Live Gold should just die at this point if they're just going to do this every month from now on, because the offerings for this month are Cold Canyon and Bladed Fury.
Awesome, which, games we've never heard of.
Yeah. Which apparently... I don't know if this is true or not, but someone on the forums, on the comment section, I mean, said that they thought that, or maybe it was in Twitter. Yeah, it was on Twitter comments. Thought that this game had been available as Games of Gold before.
Ooh, are they starting to recycle games? Wow, that would be a story in itself, man. I agree.
That'd be cool if it led to, like, cooler stuff being recycled, but...
Hmm. Well, I've always felt that PlayStation Plus always was better, almost on a monthly basis, better than Games with Gold. The thing that Microsoft has over Sony is that Game Pass, man. I mean, the Game Pass is very lucrative because not only are they making a shit ton of money on the Pass, but everybody that has the Pass gets to be, you know, fucking play awesome games all the time. Like, we just discussed that Monster Hunter game. Like, normally, you know, on PlayStation, you definitely have to buy it. They're not going to give you that for, you know, any of their three tiers. But Game Pass, right away, boom, it's there. You know, so, I don't know, man. I agree with you, Eric. Like, I think they should just get rid of their gold tier and just concentrate on Game Pass, because their gold tier has sucked. And I used to have games with gold.
I think Microsoft's long-term plan is to get rid of Xbox Live Gold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, they really should.
The way of doing it, just like making it just not worth it at all.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Is that it, Eric?
Because you could just get Ultimate Game Pass and then just play all the stuff on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm. All right, anything else, Eric?
Nope.
All right, Breakman, should I play your music?
Actually, there's another sale on Xbox. They have a DLC sale going on right now for tons of DLC.
So. Oh, okay, that's cool.
Is there any, like, actual game sales, though?
As far as the games, I don't know.
I haven't checked.
I was just looking for the DLC. Mm-hmm. Once the Cyber Monday deals were ended, I wasn't paying attention anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of fatigued on sales. I did end up picking a couple, which I'll, let's see. Hold on. I gotta go to my app here to tell you guys what I got, because I think one of them was Danganronpa. Am I saying that right, Eric? Let's see. I got Danganronpa Reload, and then I got the Sinemium files because
Insomnium.
Yeah, Insomnium files because those were the two best deals that I saw in there. So I definitely picked those up. But all right, Breakman, should I hit your music? Dear Breakman, what do we have?
Oh, I wish he was in chat right now, but Freak5Chaos, thank you. Would you rather...
Huh?
What?
Cut out.
Break, you cut out. Hello? Of course. Of course he cut out. Do we have you, Breakman?
I'm having problems with the web internet. Oh. It just started playing audio. Oh, shit.
Oh shit, he said.
All I can hear is the show in the background, like talking. Like,
oh, awesome. Okay, what you got, Breakman?
I'm sorry. Instead of Dear Breakman, we have a Would You Rather today.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Would you rather know when you are going to die or know how you are going to die? Well, that's an easy question. This is Dear Breakman, and Breakman knows everything. I'm not going to.
You're not going to die?
No, I'm living forever.
Okay, so that's why you don't even... You, yeah, okay. Well, there you go.
I mean, find a way to live forever.
I know, everybody was questioning. It explains a lot.
I think I have more of a claim to that than you do at this point, Breakman, but...
You know. I know. weren't you in a hospital trying to kill yourself? Oh, girl, what are you talking about?
I don't think there would be much value knowing, like, how you're going to die as opposed to when you're going to die. At least then you could get shit taken care of. You know, the year before you're going to die, you're going to be like, okay, well, you know, I know I'm going to die in a year, but I'm going to take care of this, and this before I die, and then the rest of the time I'm just going to fuck around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because if you knew how you were going to die, say you knew you were going to die in a plane crash, wouldn't you do everything you could to never get on a plane ever?
You know? Well, yeah, but
we know from, like, Destiny and stuff, like, from, not Destiny, but, you know, like, things that are stories that are written about Destiny that even if you're fated to die somehow, you're going to die that way.
Yeah, haven't you seen those Final Destination movies, right? Breakman? Come on, man. No,
but,
you know,
but the people got away. The people, like in the first movie, they're supposed to die in a plane crash. Since they didn't, they killed them in other crueler ways.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I don't want that to happen to me. But beside the fact, like, knowing you, let's say, oh, you're going to have a heart attack, right? It's like, oh, well, I'm fucked either way. I might as well eat that extra cheeseburger, you know? Fuck it. Let's bring it on, you know? I mean, shit. But then again, you would never know, you know? You could live till you're fucking 90, or you could just die tomorrow. It would suck. It would suck even worse because you would know exactly. I mean, it's like life now. You never know when you're going to die, right?
What if you found out you're going to die and it was tomorrow?
Oh, God. That would really fucking suck, man. I would, you know what I would do? I would smoke as much weed as I possibly could from then until then. You know what I'm saying? From now until then, break. Fuck it. Might as well. Let's see if I could beat Snoop Dogg's record, you know? Fuck it. What do you think, Eric?
I'd rather know when.
You'd rather know when? Yeah. I think I agree with that, man. Like, you know. I mean, but let's say you had a few years, you know, let's say that, like, you know, even a year, you could be like, okay, well, I can wrap things up. You know, I can say, I can, you know, whoever's going to get this, you know, my kids are going to get this, you know, whatever, you know. But, you know, knowing how you're going to die is like, oof. You know, all right, right on, Freak 5, he's still at work, but listening. What if it was like one of those deals, Breakman, where, you know, it said you are going to die on a plane, right? So by saying that, you try not to get on a plane, but let's say like you do something illegal, you end up in jail, and they have to extradite you, and then they put you on a plane, you're like, oh, fuck, here it is, right? Because you would never get on a plane otherwise, right? Or
I'm saying about like the Destiny when they write tales, like, people escaping their death or finding out how they're going to die, they try and avoid it, but inevitably that is how they die.
Yeah. And Freak 5 says, and you can spend more time with your loved ones if you know when, instead of working until the day you die. Exactly. You know, fuck it.
Like I said, it would only really suck if it's like you found out you're going to die tomorrow. Then it's like, well, fuck. Well, I wish I'd known how, so, you know, and I'd not be dying tomorrow.
Right. You know. Like I said, if they told me tomorrow was the day, I've got a fucking full thing full of weed, man. Bring it on. I'm going to smoke the entire fucking thing. How many edibles do we got? Oh, we don't have any? We're going to the dispensary right now. You know? Fuck it.
Lines screw lines.
Yeah, fuck it. Oh, man. I'm taking a trip to the mountain. I'm going to Thelma and Louise this biatch, you know? Fuck it. I don't know, man. Yeah, definitely when would be the answer, I think, right? You got anything else, Breakman?
No.
All right, let's move on to...
Inquiring Minds Want to Know.
What have you been playing, Breakman?
The same games. Friday the 13th, still just trying to level. We get to the 150, I think, is the final level. I'm in the one teens now. Some of them pretty fast and
11
kills. I'm at that point where I don't know what kills I need. You know what I mean? Like, I've got so few left. It's like, what do I need? Because I don't have like a running tab of what I've done.
Yeah.
It's just, fuck, I don't.
Is there a way you can look and see what kills you got? Like, you know,
no, I can't find any stats on it. Not in the game anywhere.
That's strange. I guess this is just one of those things. You're just going to be playing this game forever, and then one day you're going to be like, you know, you unlock the last one. You're like, holy fuck, there it is. You know, like, oh, you know, and then you're like, oh, I'm
91% of the kills right now.
So. I know, man. You only need like what, two or three more?
Probably about that, man. Yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, man. What else you been playing? Anything else?
And I've been playing more of. Katana Kami, and I don't know. Like, I just, when I start to enjoy the game, they throw something at me that pisses me off.
Hmm. You
know? So,
Do you have a comfort game that you always go back to when those instances happen? Break.
On the Switch, I usually go back to like the Namco Classics or something like that. Or a Mega Man game. I go back to old school games.
Definitely. Yeah. There's always games like that where you're like, oh, this game is frustrating. I want to go back to playing this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Katana, it's I said last week, and really it's not the game, you know, that I wanted, but still it's got its value.
Yeah.
But it does things that are just like, ugh. Like, it forces you into the dungeon, and you it's basically you can go through the dungeon, and every third level you can escape, or you can keep going deeper. At a certain point, they start throwing, like, these, what do they call them, skeleton lords or skeleton gods or something like that, and they wipe me out.
Yeah, that's never fun.
They're not a boss, it's just like just an enemy that shows up, just kind of, like, push you forward.
Yeah.
But, you know, then you're encouraging me to go get supplies and shit like that, but you're telling me not to at the same time.
Yeah, you know, there's
why I like to take his time. Like,
there's a certain level of frustration that's tolerable, right? I always go back to the Dark Souls games. Like, those games are frustrating, right? There's no doubt, but it's a level of frustration that I think is tolerable for most people. You know, like if you learn certain move sets or you just get better at the game, you can go back and just whip ass, right? Yeah. But there's certain games that do that, like what you're explaining, Break, where it's just they throw like a huge learning curve at you, or an enemy that's just seemingly impossible to beat. You know.
Yeah.
So.
And I try, you know, and I experienced it a few times, and every time it's like, well, I'm gonna start to fuck over because I don't want to, you know, lose my sword and everything that I had, you know, that I worked hard for.
Yeah.
I've tried run away from him. No, it catches me.
Let's run away. Because I said
the Death Lord or the Skeleton God or whatever the fuck it's called, and it's instant death almost.
Yeah. It almost sounds like you.
There was a point I was fighting earlier. I was in the middle of fighting, like, just skeleton archers, and all of a sudden it ran up and killed me from behind.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
It came off screen, just came at rest right at me. Like, what the. Everything was. Fuck me.
You know.
I played the game for so long, and then it's like, fuck you.
Are there any buffs you can put on yourself before you go into those areas, or is it just one of those?
Nothing that's going to help me fight that thing.
Oh, gotcha.
I've tried fighting it. It's a losing battle.
Yeah.
Right. Are there monster houses in the game? No. Monster houses are just like rooms that like just get filled with monsters.
Yeah, not that I've seen. No.
Like that. Just hard-ass fucking monsters.
Yeah. Well, most of them are normal. It's just this one character. Like, I've fought bosses, too, and it's like, okay, like, these are fine. I can handle these. No problem. They're not hard. And normal enemies are not hard. And then suddenly this regular enemy is, like, super hard. Like, what the fuck?
Fuck that shit. Anything else you've been playing, Break?
No, that's it.
Looks like Eric has been playing the Volgus Collection. Right, Eric?
It's Valus.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Valus Collection.
Why can't you read today?
I definitely can read. I'm fucking with you, Eric. The Valus Collection. What else, Eric?
God of War Ragnarok.
Is it as good as people are saying?
Yeah, yes. I mean, I don't know what people are saying, but I'm sure it's okay.
They're saying it's pretty great, Eric, so, you know. I want to play that. I'm going to get it, but definitely when it goes on sale later. Got too much shit to play, like Titanfall 2. I still want to beat Titanfall
2. I sold a game and basically just knocked off the Sony tax of $10 more.
Right.
Games were in previous generations.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to this.
RP Grinders reviews.
All right, Breakman, did you have any reviews this week? Did we lose Breakman?
Mm-hmm.
Breakman, are you there?
What'd you say?
Oh, I said, did you have any reviews this week?
Actually, I could review something. Seeing how much time we have, really.
We have plenty of time, dude. Go.
Okay, I watched a couple of movies this week. Watched a horror movie called, and I don't know if it's really a horror movie. It seemed more like a comedy than anything. Happy Death Day.
Oh, yeah, I like that movie. Okay.
Yeah, it's got a terrible name, but it was pretty good. I liked it. It's a time loop movie, and a slasher flick at
yeah.
the same time, which is an interesting combination. Essentially, the premise is that there's a college girl who's trapped in a time loop, and every time she dies, you know, she resets, and there's a serial killer killing her, you know, all the time, in different ways, and you know, she's got to try and figure out how to get away from, you know, survive him, and get out of the loop and such like that. And,
did you see the sequel with it too, or just?
Well, if you'd let me finish.
Oh, premise, okay. Sorry. Go ahead. Break.
Okay. What was I saying? So it was her trying to escape the time loop, and you know, eventually she's going to escape it. It's a movie. Like, everybody's going to escape at the end or die, either one.
There's and, also a sequel.
Right into the sequel, which I wish more Hollywood movies did. Like, I don't know why only horror movies really seem to do that. Like, the sequel begins right where the first one left off.
Yeah.
Why do more movies not do that?
I don't know. I am interested in that, Breakman. I feel the same way. Like, more movies should just pick off right where that... Like, you know, another good one like that is sort of John Wick. The John Wick series kind of does that. They pick up right where the last one leaves. And that's good. That's, you know... Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to check out John Wick sometime.
Oh, God. So, John Wick's so good.
The next one starts out with a character who was kind of a minor character in the first movie suddenly experiencing the time loop phenomenon and ended up getting killed by a serial killer.
Yeah.
Which starts a chain of events where you find out, and this is the one thing that they've never really done in most time loop movies, is explain why they're in a time loop.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Death Day to You, which is clever trick of name, like, explains exactly why they're in a time warp. It's a science project by kids, you know, college kids. And in this one, they instead of her being in a normal time loop, this time she gets sent into an alternative dimension as well as the time loop. So now everything that she already knew has changed. The original killer is not the same and such like that. And she's got to try and get back to her own dimension and out of a time loop at the same time.
Yeah.
It's really complicated, but I like them both. They're both pretty good movies.
So what are you giving part one?
7.5.
All right, part two?
7.
Oh, okay, right. I like them both, like, about that much, too, Break. Yeah. I think those movies were pretty unique and addressed a lot of great things in them.
And it also did another twist on what you normally see as far as, like, a protagonist in one of these time loop movies. It's normally a guy, so it's normally, like, a guy who's really unlikable. Mm. And then, you know, becoming like a good person, like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. Phil, whatever his last name was, he was an asshole.
Yeah,
to start the movie, like he was a flat out asshole.
Yeah.
By the end of the movie, he's beloved by everybody in town.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's a woman, and she is a bitch. She's a horrible bitch.
Yeah.
She's an asshole.
Yeah.
A jackass, a monster, a fucker.
a piece of shit.
Yeah. So, you just watch her over the course of the movie become a good person, which is...
Do you like time loop movies, Breakman? Do you like them?
I like time travel movies.
Yeah, you know, a couple of good ones if you haven't seen them already. One is called Triangle, with the chick that was on that Silent Hill movie. I believe her name is Melissa George. And then another one is Time Crimes, which is a foreign movie, but that's a great time loop movie, man. It's really, really fucking good. So if you get time to watch those, Break, definitely check those out. They're really, really good. Yeah. What about you, Eric? You like time loop movies?
Yeah.
The problem with time loop movies, there's always plot holes, man. Like big time, you know, you can't, it's hard to reconcile the time loop with anything.
In the second movie, for instance, like, she goes into an alternative dimension. What happened to her character when she was in that alternative dimension?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's just, I mean, is it like you just disappear from your own timeline? Like, what happens?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I wish the movie would address that, but, you know, whatever. All right, you got any more, Break?
No, that's it.
All right. Since we're doing movies and sequels, can I go next, Eric? Because I think your review is going to be the best of all of them, to be honest. But I'm going to review real quickly Demons and Demons 2. Now, these are old horror movies. These are from the minds of Dario Argento. So if you like old Giallo movies, you'll kind of like these movies. Giallo movies are like Italian horror movies from like the 70s and 80s. And they're very vivid. They're kind of dreamlike movies. And these are no exception. It's basically about demons, right? Hence the name Demons. First one takes place in a movie theater where people get trapped in this movie theater seemingly magically. I mean, there's very little plot to this movie other than demons appear, kill people, and, you know, a couple of the people eventually get in the way. Second, Demons movie is in a high rise, and I believe it, if I'm not mistaken, this movie is going to be kind of the premise for the new Evil Dead Rise movie, Demons 2. So it's the reason why I chose to review these movies. The acting obviously is not great. Directing is more of an abstract in these movies. The special effects are 80s. You know, special effects for old ass fucking Italian giallo movies, but overall I think the kind of the atmosphere of these movies is, you know, what they're aiming for, and some of the absurdity and some of the abstract nature of them. And I think if I was to give Demons 1, it would be a little bit higher, 7.5, and a 7 for Demons 2. So I recommend checking them out. They're on Shudder. There's a few other services that have Demons and Demons 2. So if you like giallo movies, you're going to love these. If you're not into the abstract, then you might skip them. So there you go. Eric, you have... finally, you saw the entirety of Beavis and Butthead Season 1. Your review, sir.
All right. This is Mike Judge's return to the two characters from the 90s. Mid to... No, early to mid and end of the 90s, because it ended like in 1998 and came back in 2011 for like not even a year. Because they didn't continue beyond that point. Like, they had like a string of episodes and then it was over. And hopefully this does not happen to this new series, which is effectively season 10, I guess. But it'd be season 9. That's right. I was going by Paramount Plus's weird seasoning grouping of episodes. It skips a couple seasons. Season 8 doesn't even have all its episodes.
Yeah.
It's probably the case for a couple of them. And it goes to the Mike Judge's collection, which is actually the very first episodes of Beavis and Butthead ever. Before, they hit Liquid
yeah.
TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, before it became its own show, really. Yeah. But, and then I guess it was on MTV for a while, so it's like shorts.
Yeah.
And not even like a real show.
Yep, yep. Do you remember that break?
Yes.
Yeah, he's like, yes.
But anyways, it kind of carries the theme of the previous season where there'll be a skit and then they'll do like a video that's like a YouTube video or something like that. Sometimes
TikTok. Yeah.
Or TikTok or sometimes they'll do actual music videos, like when there is music videos for them to do, because nobody really makes music videos anymore.
Right, right.
Or at least puts them in a circulation that'd be easily found.
Yeah.
And then having to pay the money to actually host the videos
right
on the episode itself.
So what'd you think of the season?
It was probably easier for them to do that back then, because the only way you could watch music videos is through MTV anyway, so, or VH1. But I think my favorite episode is the spiritual journey one, because Beavis finds a face of Jesus on his nacho, or at least that's what he believes, and he keeps going to different churches to like fight it had a score, apparently, because it appears to butt head. And I think the funniest one is the one where he goes to the Catholic Church. And they get super Catholic theology nerd mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has a really funny and disturbing voice where it's super nasally.
Yeah.
And, like, sounds like he's also sucked up helium.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed this season tremendously. I mean, breaking
out. And then he goes to the Jew church, and he finds out that the rabbi is like a super Marvel nerd or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my two favorite episodes came at the end, the yoga pants episode, and then the Bonersaurus episode with the ghosting MTV show one. I thought that was hilarious, man. I mean, I played that clip on the show before. I think it's really, really fucking funny. I don't know. What are you giving Beavis and Butthead season one, Eric?
I'm giving it a 9.
Yeah, I think it's that good. What do you think? Isn't that what you gave to Break?
I think so.
Yeah, I think we all gave it at least a 9 out of 10. I think it was a great return to form. I mean, they could
also, I like the... I don't know if it was commentary or not, but there was an episode with the raccoons getting into their shit. Oh. I wonder if that was like commentary on just pest control, just being garbage.
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe there's, you know, Mike Judge is pretty clever. He adds stuff like that into Beavis and Butthead. That,
I mean, there were no human element in there that commentate on pet control themselves. But the thing is, if pest control was doing their jobs, maybe there wouldn't be raccoons everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. All right, anything else to add to that, Eric?
Not really.
All right, let's go to everybody's favorite segment.
What is it?
Stinko of the Week.
Breakman, your Stinko of the Week.
I only did one because we got a big tournament.
Also, yes. I'd like to mention that the spiritual journey episode is like the only Beavis and Butthead episode that's been like a single skit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is noteworthy. All right, Breakman, you're Stinko, sorry.
So, last week we talked a bit about, you know, politics and the Iraq War came up, and, you know, and I said that's really what pushed me away from the Republican Party was the Iraq War, and you brought up the Democrats, and the reason I didn't, like, just switch sides is because I already was kind of, like, you know, I was already weary of the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And reasons like this. My Stinko goes to Joe Biden this week. Mm-hmm. And what him and his administration is doing to the railroad employees.
Yep. That's also my Stinko.
Union busting.
Yep.
Is what they're doing. Yep. It's exactly what Reagan did to the flight, the people that monitor the flights, the
stewardesses, the flight attendants.
No, they're on the ground. The
the ramp workers and all those people.
No, the people that call the plane, that they monitored the landing.
Traffic control. Yeah.
Traffic control. Thank you.
Yes. Like yes.
Traffic controllers union. Like he pulled union buster on them, and then, you know, that's what Biden's doing now. All these people want is some fucking sick pay.
Yeah, yeah. And
for Christ's sake.
Look, Bernie Sanders is the one that brought it to a vote. So everybody,
don't forget that Biden wants the pandemic to be over. So he said the pandemic's over.
Right, right.
That as an excuse to like make people go back to work, and of course, you're going to undercut them even more by saying, pay, fuck you.
Right, right.
Instead of going after a corporation which is worth a lot of money and can afford to do that, they're going after the people at the bottom.
Right, right, which is always the case. I mean, I've said this forever, Breakman. Can I chime in here, Break?
Yeah,
because it's also my Stinko as well, Breakman. I'm glad you brought it up because what I put on here, Stinko of the Week, no sick days for rail workers, right? Why is that a humane thing to do to anybody, right? To not give people sick leave? I don't understand this. Everybody in this country should get at least 2 weeks of sick leave. And especially rail workers. You know why? They work 7 days on and get 3 days off. You don't see how exhaustive that can be?
or somebody that works 4 days and then three. So you work 7 days to get.
They're traveling from town to town. You don't want disease spreading from town to town like that.
Right, right.
If somebody's sick, you don't want them working.
The only way that anything like this changes is if all, and I mean all of those rail workers say, we are done with this treatment, we quit. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take almost at least three quarters of an industry, because I know there's always going to be at least 25% of people that say, well, I got a family to feed, et cetera, et cetera. I understand that. But all it would take would be for all of them to say, you know what? We quit. Now, any business, I don't care if it's fucking Walmart. If Walmart gets 75% of their people to say, I quit, and they walk out, guess what happens? You can't replace all those people right away. All those skilled people, because they are skilled people, even if they're in unskilled positions, right? They know what they're doing, and they get the job done for the most part, right? It's the same with rail workers. If 75% of those people would just quit, I guarantee that shit would change, right? They would probably try to rehire every single one of those workers and give them the benefits that they need. And sick pay should be 2 weeks national minimum that anybody offers for their workforce. Because of sickness. Do you want somebody going into work and getting everybody else sick? They always talk about people. They always talk about how sickness decimates the workforce sometimes, right? And how businesses lose lots of money. How about giving them sick pay so that they can stay home and recover and not bring home sicknesses to the businesses? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it happens all the time. The pandemic should have been a big wake-up call for sick pay. Right, Brakeman?
Right. Right, it should have, but it isn't. I don't understand. Like, see, I'm lucky because I, and quote unquote lucky, is because I get like what's called PTO, which is accumulated time, and I can use that for sick pay. But essentially, that's my vacation time.
Yes, if I get sick. Yeah, I think that's a bamboozle of employees because that's vacation pay, right? So you have to dip into your vacation in order. I mean, it's just bullshit. I've always hated PTO. I think they should have two separate pools. You earn sick pay and you earn vacation time. 2 weeks sick pay and at least 1 or 2 weeks of vacation time. The end. And if you don't use your PTO, the company should have to give that to you at the end of the year and say, great job. You didn't get sick during the whole year. You didn't use your sick time. Here's your reward. We're going to give you PTO plus a holiday bonus, right? I mean, that would be great.
That's not how it happens.
No, it's not.
At the end of the year, for me,
you'd lose
when I know my year is going to be up. It's in May, by the way. I have to use all my vacation time, or you know what happens to it, Frank?
You lose it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's bullshit too, man. That's total fucking horseshit. You earned it. That's why you earn that time. You know, it's fucking bullshit. It's like people wanting, like the Republicans want to get rid of fucking Social Security. We earned that. You know, it shouldn't be a question. You should just go into the Social Security Administration. How much Social Security have I earned? And they say, well, Mr. So-and-so, you through your lifetime have earned this amount of money per month, or we can pay you one lump sum. Which would you prefer? You know? And then once you're done, you sign a paper, and that's it. They either give you the monthly, or they give you the lump sum, and sayonara, right? But they don't. They want to take it all for themselves. It's fucking sick, man. This sick day thing pisses me off to no end, Brakeman. It's bullshit. Yeah. Total bullshit. If I was those rail workers, I'd just be like, I'm done. See ya. You know, fuck them.
Have they done protests yet?
Well, of course not. They have to take it. What else can they do? Busting Biden. Go ahead, break.
Yeah, I mean, the President of the United States is putting pressure on him. It's not that easy right now for him, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's fucking dumb. I feel bad. What else you got,
Is anybody else doing protests on their behalf then?
Bernie Sanders, look, I know we're not in Bernie's camp anymore because of bullshit, right? But Bernie Sanders was the one that forced this fucking vote that failed for 7 fucking sick days. So he even got Republicans to come on over to vote for it. How many people can do that? Get Democrats. You know who one of the pieces of shits that didn't vote for it? I'll give you one guess, Brakeman. Who do you think?
A Democrat, right?
Yeah, it's a Democrat that led the charge.
Would his first name be? Would his first name rhyme with Joe?
Yes, that's it. Stupid piece of shit Republican Joe Manchin, who parades as a Democrat. Other one, Kristen Sinema, of course, who I hope fucking gets primaried and gets knocked the fuck out of Arizona. Piece of shit, man. They're all fucking worthless, man. Bernie Sanders got Republicans to vote for this. It's a no-brainer. But they lost 48 to 53, I think, or some shit. I don't know, whatever it... 42 to 50-something, 53 or something. They were eight votes shy of, you know, getting it to pass. All because, you know, fuck the workers, fuck them, right?
Ugh. How dare we consider making the employers take care of their employees? How dare we?
Yeah, yeah. Eric, did you have a stinko? I didn't see one this week.
I didn't put one up, but I have to work 10 hours next week. It's 4 to 2.
That sucks.
I have to wake up even earlier now.
Ugh.
Ugh.
I know. Fuck. I got another real quick one. Have you guys ever, like, slept with your mouth open or breathed out of your mouth at night? And when you wake up, like, you're like, you know, you just, like, move around and then your lip kind of splits because you've been breathing out of your mouth all night? That's what happened to me yesterday. I was like, God damn it, that hurts so bad. Ugh.
No. I can say no. That time, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yesterday, that's what happened. It normally doesn't happen to me, but yesterday it happened. I slept.
I got a breaking deal for you guys.
Okay.
Dragon's Crown Pro for the PS4 is $4 on PSN right now for the end of the year sale.
I pick that up if you don't have it already. It's well worth it. Well worth it. All right. Let's move on to Sweetos.
Dude, what
does
my tattoo say?
Sweeto of the week.
All right, Breakman, you're Sweeto of the week.
I think it's pretty hilarious that Trump-appointed judges are the ones that are making Trump's life hell right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you get what you pay for, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be pissed. Like, there's no way he thought that he was going to get in any trouble that they would give his tax forms or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, I got these guys in. There's no way they go against
him. Don't get me wrong, Breakman. Nothing. I mean, do we really believe he's going to end up behind bars?
It's fun watching him sweat and seeing him freak out on Truth Social or whatever it is. Like, writing, like, these rambling paragraphs of just how angry he is.
Right.
How
right.
everybody's mean to him and shit like that. Like,
Another quick stinko is, like, I never thought I'd see the day when Alex Jones was saner than one of his guests. But that Kanye West and Nick Fuentes character were on his show, and actually Alex Jones seemed saner than both of those idiots, so... It's really weird, but anyways, going back to yours, Break. Sorry,
I'm concerned with, like, his fans, like, following him. You know,
yeah. I mean, it is a concern. It is a concern. I mean, he's a billionaire for a reason. He sold a shit ton of records, right? Yeah. So yeah, I agree. I mean, black people calling Hitler great is the new trend. I think. I don't know, but
I don't think he understands what happened in the Holocaust.
I don't think he understands what happened with Hitler, the Holocaust, or anything, for that matter. I think he's mentally ill, to be honest with you. I don't... All this genius shit and all that, I don't agree with it, Breakman. I think he is mentally ill.
Only billionaires call themselves geniuses.
Yes.
Nobody else.
Yes.
That.
Yes. Exactly. I don't think he's a genius. I don't. I really don't. No. I you know... So, I mean, I hope he gets help.
I don't think he's stupid either.
Does he understand that, like, if the Nazis were to take over the United States, that, like, he would be one of the first to be lynched and killed?
If he's truly mentally ill, then he probably doesn't. But
right.
I don't know if this is really mental illness or just, like, just the guy
who's... stupidity.
Well, he's been indoctrinated into the billionaire think club where... You know, everybody else is the enemy. You're going after my money.
Yeah, well, I mean, eventually everybody is going to go after your money because there's going to be nothing left, right? It's going to be billionaires with all the money, everybody else with no money. What happens then? That's why I said we got to get away from the monetary system completely. Otherwise, this country is so fucked, man. The world is fucked if we don't get away from money, you know? That's why Star Trek is so interesting to me, because it's a system that could potentially work. You know, I know people cry foul when I say that. You know, how dare the billionaires give up all their worldly possessions and you know, we all work together for a better future. How dare we suggest that, you know? I don't know. But that's, I mean, just shows you how forward-thinking Gene Roddenberry was, you know? But whatever. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Eric, I didn't see a Sweeto for you. Did you have any more, Breakman?
Well, you know, with Gene Roddenberry, like, he imagined a world where racism had ended.
Yes, yes, you know? Exactly.
Like, it was, and people could work with other species, like aliens yeah. and stuff like that, and there was no...
It was always like, a euphemism for racism, like working with other races, and then he took it further to even hire black actors, which didn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Unless you were on an all-black cast, like Good Times or something, you know, like mm-hmm. it just didn't happen. Or Sanford and Son, something like that, you know. But, yeah, I mean, you're right, Break, for sure. All right, Eric, no Sweeto. Mine is, I've been really... Oh, Freak says when he gets home, he's going to type his latest tirade. We'll read it when you get there, buddy. No worries. But we're going to
be here for the tournament. Damn you, Freak. This is all your fault. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's going to be here for the tournament, which is great. But real quickly, I have been enjoying watching Breakman battle Nazis on Twitter, for sure. It's been pretty fun, man. Today was real fun. I think you're going to get our account suspended, but I really don't care.
I've been suspended almost every day.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think...
I worry about us getting, like, kicked off, but... If we get let Nazis back on, so...
Look, Breakman, if you get kicked off, I will wear it as a badge of honor. Honestly, man, I'll be like Breakman broke fucking Elon Musk. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I'm going to look at it, you know? So no worries there whatsoever. All right.
I like the one guy I was just making fun of today. He's like, you know, I'm a free-thinking individual.
Oh, I saw that.
This, but like, how can you judge this guy? Well, he's he served his time, and you know, he's redeemed or no, he didn't serve his time yet. He was off Twitter, so he served his time, quote unquote. Sorry. You know, and maybe he's changed and stuff like that. No, he's still running the same website that got him kicked off in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, but instead of going, oh, shit, like, oh, he's a Nazi, that guy doubled down on it and, you know, started defending himself against all the accusations and tried to just kept digging his hole deeper and deeper. It's astounding to watch. Like,
yeah. It is. It is astounding for sure, man. All right.
Like watching people like side with Nazis, like
it's weird,
like, and then they think that everybody else is the Nazi is the funny, right?
Right. I mean, my grandfather fought in World War II against the Nazis. Fuck the Nazis. I think I can say that with 100% conviction. And fuck anybody that follows that ideology. Fuck anybody that says that has anything nice to say about Nazis, because Nazis were not nice to other people. Mm. Fuck all of them.
Yeah. I don't think we need to explain it to our listeners. I'm sure they all understand, like, how horrible the Holocaust was.
Right.
It was essentially anybody that wasn't blonde and blue-eyed was, you know, the devil. Yeah.
And anybody that denies the Holocaust, and you're listening to the show, just go ahead and go somewhere else. You know, I mean, you're not going to like this show anyways, because, you know, the Holocaust definitely happened, as much as it hurts your fifis, you know, and there's no need to defend that bullshit. And if you're going to defend that bullshit, we don't need you. So see you later. You know, not that it needed to be said, Breakman, but yeah. I just have a, you know, place in my heart. My grandfather told me stories and, you know, stuff. He was actually fucking there. So if anybody wants to tell me that it never happened, they're full of fucking shit. And I know I'm going by anecdotal evidence because I wasn't there, blah, blah, blah. My grandfather was a World War II veteran fucking hero. And we were... Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you, but have you ever been to Japan?
No, I never have.
It still exists, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Just like South Korea exists, and I just got a... Bernie and I got this box from South Korea with snacks from South Korea. So there's, I guess that's more plausible evidence that South Korea does exist, Breakman. So, yes, exactly.
I mean, getting hearsay evidence. You're only getting hearsay that it can't exist because you've never been there.
Right, right.
By their stupid arguments.
Right. Okay, let's move on to our free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all!
All right, Breakman, we have a new tournament this week. Can you please explain to everybody the rules of this tournament, what's going on, what it's about, etc.?
Essentially, four people gave me like lists of movies. I said three people, including myself, four. Compiled a list of movies we hated, and, you know, I couldn't do them all, and honestly, if I wanted to, we could probably do like a 5,000.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, God knows there are so many bad movies out there. But I managed to whittle this down to 64, and I put them all in their own little brackets so we can decide if you don't want to start at the beginning. I've put them in different brackets. We have the drama bracket of the worst movie ever, the comedy bracket of the worst movie ever, the action bracket of the worst movie ever, and the bracket that's most notorious for bad movies, the horror bracket.
I think we should start at the top. Let's just start at the top and go through the
list.
That's
fine with me because I wanted to start with this one. Oh, God. I put this on this list. I hate this movie. It's a terrible, boring movie. And you're supposed to like have these feelings and care about this guy. And he goes to kill himself at the end. And you're just, or the beginning of the movie, and you just watch his life. And, you know, by the end of the movie, if you're not rooting to change the channel, I don't know what you're watching.
Wait, but versus, before we get this in here, Breakman, explain, like, if we pick the movie, then we have to explain why it's on the list. Okay? Right. Yeah.
And that would be Mac and Me to Frank, who put it on the list.
Mac and Me is an E.T. wannabe movie that does everything terribly. Not that E.T. was great by any stretch, because it was not, and you may or may not see it on this list later, but it was a cheap version of E.T. That just was shitty, and I think I watched about half of it, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Bernie cried at the end of this movie, because she probably saw this when she was a lot younger, but I guarantee if she was to see this movie now, she would be like, this is a piece of fucking garbage.
You misunderstood. She cried because it was so bad.
Yeah, I hope.
Like it made her cry. Like
right.
It was
right.
That bad.
Right. So, I don't know, man. This is a tough one. Who's going first, Break?
Since we both picked the movies, I think Eric should start.
Okay.
I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life, but
it's like
Mac and Me
8 hours pretty long.
I'm going in for Mac and Me though, because yeah, it was very uninteresting and terrible looking. I saw like at least 5 minutes of it. It was like I didn't want to watch it ever again.
I'm gonna go next, and I'm gonna give it to. I've never seen Mac and Me. I've just seen like previews of it, and it looked terrible. But the difference between these is A Wonderful Life is like 12 hours long, 24 hours long or something. Like, the movie never seems like it's ever going to fucking end. Where Mac and Me is probably a lot shorter, so Wonderful Life.
Okay, now, I know I picked Mac and Me, but since you put it up against It's a Wonderful Life, I am in full agreement, Breakman. I hate It's a Wonderful Life. I think it's one of these holiday movies that people watch during Christmas, and I have no idea why people watch it for the reasons that you just stated. It's one of the longest, most boring, you know, dumbest movies with Jimmy Stewart, who's usually pretty good, mostly in westerns and stuff like that. But it's this revered movie for what? This guy was going to kill himself and probably should have killed himself based on how shitty he was during this whole movie, right, Breakman? So
Yeah, it wasn't. I don't advocate suicide. It's
just, no. I'm just saying it's a movie, so we can pretend, right?
Okay. For a second, a movie. Okay.
Right. So it is a movie. It's not real life. Like, I'm big on mental health. You know that, Breakman.
I got to question whether it's real or not. But go on.
Okay. So, for that reason, I'm going to give the slight edge to A Wonderful Life. I, as much as I want to pick Mac and Me, because it was like a shitty version of E.T., it's got to be Wonderful Life. If, up against anything else, I might have picked Mac and Me, but this was just a perfect world scenario for Mac and Me where it does not advance.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there's going to be a lot that should but won't. Yes. Next up, we have one from Eric, The Scarlet Letter.
Ooh, that's a good one. Why Scarlet Letter, Eric?
It was just... I didn't get to see the whole time movie, but it just felt boring. Mm. I was like, I'd rather read the book than see this slow-paced film.
Yeah, garbage, yeah. All right.
Frank? Because you're Crash, as I forgot to say, because your movie is Crash.
My movie is Crash. Now, this is probably the only Oscar winner. I'm not 100% sure on that, Breakman, but this movie won Picture of the Year. And I have no clue why this movie was even nominated. It's basically about this these woman that likes to crash her vehicle. And there's a police officer, Matt Dillon, who's also a piece of shit. None of the characters are likable. Nothing really happens in it other than a few car crashes. It is unequivocally one of the worst movies I think I've ever seen in my life.
You'd be better off watching the original Broadway play instead of watching that movie.
I don't know. Was this based on a Broadway play? I mean, yes. Holy fuck. Scarlet Letter, at least it had Demi Moore in it, and Demi Moore is pretty hot to look at least back then. Crash definitely is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I'm going with Crash, Breakman. Breakman, did we lose you?
I'm sorry.
I think we might have lost Breakman. Hold on.
Sorry.
Oh, there you are. So it's okay. Up to you. You're the tiebreaker on this one, Breakman.
If we're talking about the original Scarlet Letter from, like, the 60s or something like that, I vaguely remember it. I think we watched it in school. It's like, we're reading a book. Here, let's watch the stupid movie, too. And I never saw Crash. But by your description of it, Frank, I'm going to go with Crash.
Yeah.
Because if it's a bad movie winning awards, like, ugh.
Yeah, yep, it won Oscar, and I advise you to watch it, Breakman, just so you can see what a bad movie it is, man. It fucking blows. No value whatsoever in that movie. Every character is unlikable.
And The Scarlet Letter is based on a good book. The book itself, like, it's a horrifying story, but it's a good book.
Yeah. Yes.
Next, we have The Breakfast Club versus Star Trek V. I put both of these on here, so I'll go ahead and do them both. Okay. Breakfast Club goes back to these boring movies. It's about kids in detention, a bunch of different kids bonding and getting to know each other. It's supposed to be a funny, feel-good, like, dramedy type thing. It's a boring piece of shit. Even guys like Emilio Estevez, who I love, are in it, and it's still a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Versus Star Trek V, which of all the Star Treks, I think, was the absolute worst movie.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Star Trek V is the one where they go searching for God.
Yes.
Because this one guy wants to find God, and there's this whole...
I can't wait to watch it and see how terrible it is.
Oh, dude, it's...
I still need to watch 4 in that, and then whatever comes afterwards.
Hold on. What are you looking for?
So, with Star Trek V, there's also this one scene where Bones talks about how he had to kill his mom, and then they found, like, a cure, like, a week later or something like that. This movie's, like, depressing on top of boring, and it was just, like...
Also, it feels like it's an invasion of the religious from an atheist who made the series.
It's... It was really
like,
weird.
Why are you perverting my work this way?
Yeah.
I don't even remember the end of it at this point. It's been so long.
I know. I can basically they have a confrontation with God. Kirk and I think it was either
God wasn't the,
No. Hold on, Eric.
The red disc
it wasn't God. It was just a fake God. So they find out that it's a fake God, and they, you know, basically destroy the fake God. But it was Kirk, and I don't know if it was Spock or Bones that was with.
I think it was Kirk. Bones.
Yeah, it could have been Bones.
I don't really remember.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, and I don't wish to really remember it. But I do remember there are a couple of good scenes, like. Where Kirk is like really like having this deep philosophical conversation with God, you know, if you're God, why are you so terrible right now? You know, why are you being an asshole, basically? But other than that, the movie's trash. I agree. But
yeah,
what do you?
Since these are both mine, I'm gonna go ahead and put. I'm gonna say Breakfast Club is the worst. Is worse because at least it's Star Trek, and 5 wasn't the end. Thank God, Star Trek 6 came out and it was great.
Yeah,
thank God. Because if that was the last Star Trek movie, I mean, of the original 5, I was like, oh my God.
I know.
Six was a great movie.
2, 4, and 6 were pretty good, from what I remember. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
even number ones were good for whatever reason. The odd ones weren't. I don't understand it. Nobody else does, but it's true. So like I said, I'm going to go with Breakfast Club because it's the kids at the end, like they're trying to break out of the tension and stuff like that. And the quote unquote villain is just the school administrator trying to do his fucking job and discipline bad kids. So Frank, you can go next.
Okay. I'm going to agree with you, Breakman, just for the reasons that I stated. Like at least there are a couple of scenes in Star Trek V worth examining and analyzing. The Breakfast Club was just one of these quote-unquote coming-of-age movies, but all it is a bunch of teenage fucking angst with boring-ass fucking characters, and it meant absolutely fucking nothing to no one, and it was way exalted at the time. I remember people talking about the Breakfast Club like it was the greatest thing, and I'm like, what the fuck? Did I just watch the same movie you guys watched? Breakfast Club for me.
Were they in it for the soundtrack? Because
the soundtrack was great. Yeah.
But to be fair, in the 80s, a lot of soundtracks were great.
Yeah, that is true. Well, yeah, I'm going with Breakfast Club, Eric.
So the movie was good because I remember the tunes.
Yeah.
you might as well might have watched a music video instead and waste your time on a movie. Because, or a bunch of music videos for each of those songs.
So but, you picking Breakfast Club too, Eric?
Okay. Next,
I haven't even seen it, and I have no desire to see it because it seems like an overrated piece of shit.
Yeah, it is.
It's very overrated. Frank's description was very accurate. Next, we have Grease, which is by Frank.
Yes. I picked Grease because this is another overrated piece of fucking trash. Why musicals in general are exalted is beyond me. Like, there are certain ones, like Rocky Horror Picture Show is a great one. I like Little Shop of Horrors pretty good. But I don't really like show tune movies all that much, but there are a few standouts out there. And why Grease is put in the pantheon of great musical movies, I will never understand.
If you want to do a Broadway play, then do a Broadway play. Don't make a movie out of it.
So, but this movie is interesting in the fact that, again, are we supposed to root for any of these fucking characters? Like, it's this horny chick and this horny dude, and they want to fuck each other, pretty much. Like, what is so fucking profound about it? They're singing? Okay. Singing and dancing? There's plenty of other great singing and dancing movies out there. This is not one of them, in my opinion. All right.
And the sequel at least has a young Michelle Pfeiffer.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. But still, piece of shit. That one, too.
Right. But I'm just saying it's just slightly better because of that one.
Not yeah, so there's my explanation why I put Grease on the list, Breakman.
I put E.T., the Spielberg ginormous mega hit. It was another boring movie. Like, there was this feel-good alien movie, and it's supposed to be a touching story. Like, it's a little alien that wants to go home, and you're dealing with the, of course, what you would deal with in real life, the FBI and scientists and all them trying to take him in.
Yeah, which, but, by the way, the government is doing the right thing in that case, right? You have a fucking alien species from a different planet on your planet. Who knows what kind of fucking diseases or alien technology that could totally destroy us. Of course they want to fucking examine this fucking alien, right? So why are they the bad guys? I don't know. It was just really fucking weird, but okay.
And on top, to top that off, if that wasn't bad enough, back in the 90s, remember what Spielberg did to E.T.?
What are you talking about?
When he did the re-release of E.T. In the original, the FBI and the scientists, stuff like that, they had guns.
Yep, and he took the guns out.
When he re-edited it in the 90s, or maybe it was early 2000s, I think it was the 90s, but like when him and Lucas were redoing their stuff, he edited the guns out to make them microphones. Or not microphones, walkie-talkies.
Yes, and that was shitty.
Boo-looking.
Since these are both ours, Eric, you can start.
I'm going to vote for Grease because it's super greasy.
I'll go next, and I will... E.T. is supposed to be cute and whatever like that, and there's a terrible video game based on him. But he never sang, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of terrible music in Grease. So definitely Grease.
Yeah, I'm going with Grease as well. At least in E.T., like, there is some value in the relationship between the aliens and the kids, right? And it had that really cool scene with you know, it basically is the emblem now with E.T. like using his telekinetic power, which is another reason why we should have been terrified of this fucking E.T. He has fucking telekinetic powers. Jesus Christ, he could have crushed us all. But you know that scene in the moon. So, but it's got to be Grease, man. Grease is fucking awful.
Next up, and Grease moves on with again, we have a unanimous decision. We had a couple in here so far. Next, we start out with Castaway by Frank.
Yes, Castaway is a fucking boring-ass movie that's exalted for some weird reason, Breakman. People love this movie, and I have no idea why. Like, what is... Because Tom Hanks is in it? Not every movie with Tom Hanks is an absolute fucking gem, right? All you got to do is look. Another one I should have put of Tom Hanks in here is Forrest Gump.
I hate you. I'm not talking to you and ever again.
Forrest Gump fucking sucks.
You fucking suck.
But not nearly as bad as fucking Castaway, right? Castaway.
Let me ask you one question on Castaway. And within 5 minutes of the movie, didn't you know already what the ending was going to be?
Yes, yes, yes.
Like you knew his wife, like he was going to get back to his wife, and she was going to be remarried.
Right. You knew that like he. First of all, you knew he was going to be rescued. Right. If the movie had ended with him just being on that island, I would have respected it a lot more. But you knew he was going to get rescued. You knew his life was going to be upended because he had, you know, his wife would have moved on, which she probably should have after all those years. I mean, it just was fucking awful. This was Spielberg again, right?
I don't remember.
It's one of the big ones, Spielberg or one. But I mean, what the fuck is this movie? So you have a guy that's by himself that goes crazy. Really, that's news to me. I mean, of course, anybody who's a castaway that's away from society for that long is going to lose their fucking mind, right? So okay, and then he comes to find. So you want to make us go through this movie, and then you want to make us feel bad at the end of the movie too. So, right. You know,
you felt bad the entire movie. You want to kick us some more. Okay.
Right. And then I'm curious about the next one, Break.
Next one is one of the ones I've hated for a very long time. The Wizard of Oz. Another musical like Grease. You know, they got to do these stupid songs at certain points. And everybody knows the tale. A little girl goes to a magic land by a flying house. What's that? Well, she's supposed to be a girl, little girl, but she's more of an adult, you know, because Hollywood doesn't know how to cast people, right? Same with Grease. They're supposed to be kids, but, you know...
They're fucking 30-year-old fuckers running around.
But the Wizard of Oz, like, so, you know, she comes to the magical land to save it and stuff like this. But have you ever thought, she comes in a house and the first thing she does is kill somebody she's never met before. She doesn't know if that person's a threat or anything. She immediately steals that person's clothes and then tells her sister, no, I'm not going to give them back to you. And then she, you know, goes through this journey where she meets a guy who's, you know, a lion that needs courage and a tin man that needs a heart and, you know, and the straw man, and they have their happy-go-lucky story.
It's a porn waiting to happen, right, Breakman? Like,
it just is so dumb. The whole movie was dumb. I hated it. The Lollipop Guild, these singing little munchkins. I'm not calling it munchkins.
It was based on a book. Is the book any good, though?
Well, the book is actually a lot darker.
Yeah.
That's the thing. The book is based on was a really dark tale. That's why the sequel is very dark.
Yeah.
Whereas they turned this into like the first color movie. And that was the big selling point of this movie, is like most of the movie's in color when, you know, parts of it are in black and white, but that's, you know, that's fine. We've got a billion color movies now. That's fine.
Who's going first on this one, Break?
I will go first with The Wizard of Oz. Frank.
Okay. A real quick side note, I'm not picking Wizard of Oz because there are some good things about Wizard of Oz. The color thing you mentioned, which I think was innovative and cool, the first color movie, and half of it... Oh, but hold on. There's something else that's really cool in this movie, and it is the fucking winged monkeys, which scared the fuck out of a lot of the kids, and any movie that can scare kids like that, a supposed kid movie, is A-okay by me. So... with that, it's definitely Castaway, because Castaway was definitely a more boring movie. So, Castaway for me.
I don't even want to see Castaway because of everything you described about it, so I'm voting Castaway.
I didn't do a good enough job to sell Wizard of Oz. Okay, next up we have Perfect Storm by Frank.
Okay, as boring as Castaway was... Take that and put that on the sea with shitty Mark Wahlberg and shitty George Clooney. Why George Clooney is exalted as a great actor is beyond me. I've never seen a movie with George Clooney in it where I thought, man, he acted really, really good. He was so good in this movie, right?
He seems like the same guy in almost every
movie. He's one-dimensional. The only thing that somebody could say to me is that he's good-looking, and... Holy fuck, do I think he's one of the ugliest A-list actors out there, right? So, for me, I mean, Perfect Storm is basically about these sailors that go out to sea, and that's about it. That's it. They go out to sea. That's their job. They go out to... I don't know if they're fishing. I think they're fishing. I think that's why they were going out there.
Mm.
But it's supposed to be this epic about these two... You know, this crew of guys, including these two, that go out there to, you know, battle the fucking waves to get their catch or whatever, like a Moby Dick type moment. And it never culminates in that. And all you see at the end is George Clooney at the helm of this boat going up against this big wave. So what the fuck is what I almost
saw that the scene in Forrest Gump where him and Dan were. Out at sea, and it's like, let's make a whole movie based on that idea.
Holy fuck, is it bad, man. Like, I was in the movie theater to see this because I was excited because the trailers are pretty exciting. They're showing, like, these sailors out there, like, you know.
That's where I disagree. Like, I saw the trailers for it and lost complete interest.
No, I was interested because I thought the trailers they looked kind of cool. It's like, it's going to be, I don't mind a good drama, right? I like dramatic movies. So, you know, I was like, okay, I mean, you know, a couple of A-list actors, you know, with some good banter, and, you know, maybe they'll explain why they're out there doing what they're doing, and everything's going to be cool, right? And, oh, they're going to go up this, oh, the storm scenes are going to be amazing, right? No, right. Nothing is amazing about this movie at all whatsoever. So that's why I picked Perfect Storm.
Perfect Storm is going up against one that I put on here, Requiem of a Dream. We talked earlier about a movie that kind of kicks you where you're down and keeps kicking you and kicking you and kicking
you. Oh, yeah.
And then when it's over, you feel absolutely miserable from watching it. That'd be Requiem of a Dream. It just gets worse and worse. What'd you say?
for a Dream. Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, Requiem for a Dream.
Requiem for a Dream is about four people, a mother who wants to lose weight because she's going to be on her favorite game show. She won tickets to be on it. Her son and his friend and his girlfriend. And their lives and how they're affected by drug use.
Yes.
Mother gets on diet pills and goes insane. The son gets on heroin and loses an arm.
Yep.
The friend smokes pot and ends up in jail. And the woman does, I think, crack, and she ends up as a prostitute.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
that's the movie just keeps getting bad and bad and bad until it gets worse. And it was just. And I get it, like, that's the point of the movie, but fuck, there's no way I could watch that shit.
Can I go first on this one, Break? I know that Eric didn't pick either of these movies, but Requiem, I own Requiem for a Dream, but Requiem for a Dream is a movie that you want to see once and never see again, just for what Breakman said. I think it's an excellent movie. Now, do I want to watch this movie and think that it's going to, like, make me feel good? Hell no. But when I want to watch a movie that I can say, man, my life is way better than any of these people's lives, this is the movie to go to, Requiem for a Dream. For me, the worst of the two movies is Perfect Storm. Like I said, I own Requiem Dream. I think it's a fantastic movie to deter people from drug use. So for that reason, for me, it's definitely Perfect Storm for all the reasons that I said. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I will say Requiem of Dream was great acting. Like, there's great performances in it, but it was just, and I get the point of the story being that, like, it's an anti-drug movie and it's saying, like, your loves are going to spiral out of control and going to end miserably, but it's a miserable movie to watch. I did not want to watch it again. So I'm going with Requiem for a Dream, and Eric, you again get to be the tiebreaker.
I'm going for Perfect Storm.
Perfect Storm is probably one of the most boring, nothing happened movies. At least stuff happens in Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, it's all bad.
No, I understand, but at least something happens.
These characters, like I said, it's well acted, so you feel for these characters. Like, these aren't like, it isn't like watching Friday the 13th and you're like, I don't fucking care who he kills, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't want to see terrible things happen to these people. And they're like, no, don't do that. Oh, you're gonna do that. No, don't do that. Oh, you are. No, stop.
Right. All right, continue on.
Next, we have Jiggly, which is from Frank.
Oh, Jiggly. How can I describe Jiggly? A non-love story with two people who have no chemistry on screen or off screen. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. It's supposed to be a romantic comedy, I think. But it's so boring and nothing happens again. And, you know, I guess they get together and they fall in love and what? that's my, when I finished that movie, my first reaction was what? That was my reaction to Jiggly. It was so nothing. So that's why I put it on the list.
Okay, I put on the list Tequila Sunrise. And let me list some names for you, Frank, and see what you would think of a movie with these names in it. From the 80s, from the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Gibson.
Oh, Mad Max. Weiss. Yeah, Mad Max.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Ralph Julia.
Ooh. It's sounding really good. Like, is this an action?
It's the most boring movie ever made.
Yeah, it's
nothing
pretty boring.
Nothing happens ever. There's nothing in this movie that grabs your attention at any point.
Is there any sex in it? Boobs?
No.
Damn it.
It's boring. It's the most boring movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think I've seen this movie too. I mean, these are two boring ass fucking movies that involve nothing. Yeah.
And this one's got like A-list cast, you know. This has got like superstars of the 80s.
Yeah.
And I mean, Ralph Julia.
I know.
Ralph fucking Julia was in this movie.
I know.
I know, Mel Gibson.
The only good thing about the Street Fighter movie, for God's sake.
I know.
If he wasn't in Street Fighter, none of us would even fucking remember it.
Right.
You know?
Hey, Freak 5, let us know when you're done, and we'll read your epic rant here. He's got, like, a book here for us to read. Okay. Yeah.
And I saw Jiggly and Julie, which was stupid. I didn't think boring. I thought stupid. As
yeah.
I was watching
stupid
that
is a good...
Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why. Why did they make this movie? But... At the same time, stupid is more interesting than fucking boring Tequila Sunrise. That was the worst thing.
Mm.
So I'm going Tequila Sunrise. Frank?
This is a tough one because I've seen both of these movies, Breakman. And
both times.
I'm just going to pick Jiggly just to see what Eric says based on our descriptions.
Mm. Yeah, see, if Michelle Pfeiffer showed her boobs in Tequila Sunrise, that would not be on this list.
Right, just, I agree. Like,
there's no nudity in Tequila Sunrise.
I haven't seen either of these, so...
You're lucky.
I think I'm going to vote for Tequila Sunrise because it sounds a lot like another movie I had on my list.
All right.
You got an A-list cast, but just a horrible story.
Okay. I don't disagree with that because I totally forgot about it.
I don't know about A-list, but there are some A-listers in
yeah.
it.
Right. Well, I mean, for the 80s, like Mel Gibson, Michelle Pfeiffer, like that was definitely A-list.
All right, let me read Freak 5's epic rant here before we move on.
Hold on, let's finish.
Oh, let's finish this and then we'll do the
one left.
Okay.
And we'll finish this and then we'll move and then you can do that. We're going to start, and the reason I want to do this is because Eric hasn't got to get a turn yet, so it's
okay.
His turn. Finally getting a turn. Sound of Music, which I put on here because I've said it many times, it was a movie I hated so much, but the singing was terrible. The cast was terrible. At the end of the movie, I was hoping the Nazis killed them. not them escaping. I just wanted them all dead in the movie to end. Versus Cool World, which is Eric's choice.
Why did you pick Cool World, Eric?
Just because it sounded like a cool premise. And then I didn't watch the entire movie, but what little I had seen of it, it just... felt like it completely fell on its ass at some point.
Yeah.
This was an early Brad Pitt movie, and it was a mixture of live action and cartoons, and like Eric said, it had an awesome premise.
Why do you keep saying it that way?
Well, there's two ways of saying that. Premise, premise, the same thing. We know what you're saying, Brad.
It's just noise. I absolutely agree with you. This movie was fucking boring, and I hated Cool World. I wish I hadn't seen all of it. But I can't go against Sound of Music. I would rather watch Cool World because at least they don't fucking sing. There's no... Do re mi, do a deer.
God, man!
Jesus Christ, they made us sing that in school. For fuck's sake! Fuck the Sound of Music. Fuck that song. Fuck that movie. Fuck the cast. Fuck the Sound of Music.
Okay, that's
my vote.
I think Eric should go next.
Frank, or actually, my vote's for that. Eric, what are you?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the Sound of Music, but it's a musical, so maybe I should vote against it.
I was hoping you'd say Cool World so I could be the tiebreaker, Eric.
I'm voting for Sound of Music because anything that's that old in a musical doesn't deserve to live, in my opinion.
All right, I am also going with the Sound of Music because at least the character design of the chick in Cool World, coupled with Kim Basinger, I believe, did the voice, is fine with me. Sound of Music, it should have been called The Sound of Stupidity and Boringness. Because I agree with you. Everything that you said, Breakman, about sound, why it's a beloved fucking musical is beyond me. I mean, Julie Andrews is great, and I love Julie Andrews, and she's got a great voice, but the songs were so... all the songs you mentioned that you had to sing in school and...
Oh my
you
God,
know.
They made us sing in school. You don't understand, Eric, how horrible it was.
Sound of Music, definitely awful, man.
They'd make us watch musicals in school and then give us the sheet music to fucking sing the
yes,
songs.
Yes, yes, yes. Fucking awful,
that,
man.
I remember that one in Fiddler in the Roof and...
Fiddler in the Roof should have been on this fucking list too, man. Fucking boring.
There's another one I can't... there are a few more I can't remember. Anyway, but yeah, the Sound of Music...
All right, let me do this rant real quick. So Freak 5 says, last Friday, the worst employee in his department got to leave early after the supervisor who let her leave told me and the other person on the night shift that another department needed help and we should go help them. Supervisor later told a pharmacist that she wouldn't have let the other person leave if she knew that department was behind. Not to mention there was other work needed to be done. So me and the night person helped that department until we went to lunch and our night truck showed up. After we finished the truck, 2 hours before we were scheduled to leave, pharmacist said we could leave an hour early if we helped a different department for an hour. Monday, our supervisor was upset, saying we needed to ask other departments if they need help before we leave. We were told we didn't help the first department like we were asked to, etc. But the person she let leave, she didn't make ask if the other departments needed help. So yesterday, I get to work and see a notice of an all-employee meeting, and I think, what bullshit are they giving us now? First, they are changing the attendance policy, so all the people who have lots of bad marks for calling in sick a lot, making extra work for those who rarely call in sick, get all those bad marks wiped away. Not mentioned in the meeting, but one of the requirements for the techs getting their bonus was to be in good standing, so all techs with shitty attendance who weren't going to get the bonus will suddenly be in good standing. And it must be a recent decision to change the attendance policy because they didn't tell us what it is yet. So it's probably in response to techs with bad attendance complaining. So they were listened to, but others who complained because we were just ignored with the retention bonus were told too bad. An employee, rightfully unnamed, is having financial problems. The head of the facility is asking the employee to donate money to help this employee out. I'm not sure which would be worse, if the person is a tech that the company is already giving $1,500 to, or if it's a non-tech that the company would give $1,500 to, just like they are giving to the techs. We were also told that starting next year, our yearly raises will be tied to our reviews. I haven't had a review in about 3 years, and the two criteria affecting our raise up or down in our reviews are production, and my department has no production measures. The other criteria is having a good mood. Oh boy, I hate this fucking bullshit good mood nonsense, Freak Five. They pissed off most of the facility by announcing a small part of the facility is getting that retention bonus, and now your raise can be lowered if your supervisor knows you're upset about it. Okay, done with the stinko part. My sweeto has a couple of stinko points in it. We're getting raises on next week's checks, which is normal. Everybody gets a raise at the end of the year. Next year will be the first time it's tied to reviews. Coworker was told he was having a review, and I asked when I would get one, and I was told the anniversary of my hire date. That coworker never got a review, so no idea if I will, but I was hired in February, so I am hoping after next week's raise, I will get another in 2 months. Another part of my sweeto, co-worker in the night shift with me has been trying to get my department night shift differential and has been told they would look into it and heard nothing back. Today she took it to the top guy. He used to be in charge of the facility, but when they opened more facilities, he was promoted to run all the similar facilities. So this guy didn't know that they had changed our hours to stay an hour later, and he said that it isn't our responsibility to help other departments. So hopefully he will improve some things for me. So there you go. That's great. Freak 5 sucks on the other part, but hey, welcome to corporate America and capitalism time, Freak 5, pretty much. So, all right, let's move on with the tourney break.
All right, you guys want to do comedy, action, or horror? And if we do horror, I want Freak to call in because several of these are his.
All right, let's go into comedy, man. I mean, okay. Fuck it. We'll just go down the road.
This is my favorite bracket. I like comedy movies. Joe Dirt. Wait, who's putting Joe Dirt?
Frank did, I think.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, Joe Dirt. Frank, go ahead.
Well, Freak 5 put in Joe Dirt 2, but I think Joe Dirt 1 is just a bit of shitty.
Joe Dirt 2's on here. Yeah, I guess I forgot about Joe Dirt 2.
Yeah.
That's the only one of his in here. On this one.
Yeah, it's just a shitty movie, like, with a little bit of racist undertones to it. I mean, it has no value whatsoever. I didn't find any of the jokes funny. I didn't even chuckle, I think, but maybe one or two small chuckles during the whole fucking movie. I didn't think it was funny. David Spade was well past his prime in his comedic sense when this movie was made, and the fact that they made a 2 was just like, who the fuck watched this first fucking piece of shit movie? So that's why I put it on the list.
Okay, hey, you put the second one on the list, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Okay, My Big Fat Greek Wedding gets put on this list because A, my ex loved it, and B, I fucking hated it because it's not funny for the most part. There are a couple of small little things. The premise is ridiculous. Like this chick, okay, two people fall in love. What is so fucking great about that premise? Like, people fall in love all the time. Now, that doesn't mean I don't like movies where people fall in love. It just means that this movie did a run-of-the-mill, nerdy chick kind of likes this guy and is nervous around him, and he likes her, but he doesn't really want to say he likes her, but they end up together, right? So that's the premise of My Big Fat Greek Wedding, set behind the drop of, you know, a bunch of Greek people, which, okay, I'm okay with, you know, people sharing culture and ideas and stuff like that, but it didn't make it any more interesting to me. Like, every culture has their quirks, right? Why are these quirks any funnier than anybody else's quirks, in my opinion? So, I mean, that's the reason why I put this one on there. Break.
Okay. Since you put them both, I think me and Eric should start. I'll go ahead and start.
Yeah.
I've seen Joe Dirt. I haven't seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Joe Dirt was okay. Like, I didn't think it was, like, the worst movie ever, but it wasn't like, oh, this is good, I'll watch this again type thing. But, like I said, I've never seen Big Fat Greek Wedding, so I'm going to go Joe Dirt.
All right.
Eric.
I'm voting for My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Even though I didn't see it, I never have a desire to see it. And
yeah,
it's billing itself as a comedy, but it's actually more of a romance movie than was it doing as a comedy.
Well, there are a lot of, like, blended genres in here, so I tried to fit them into certain brackets.
Yeah. I'm going with My Big Fat Greek Wedding because, like I said, it was, like, one of my ex's favorite movies, and I never understood why. Like, there was really, really nothing in it. Like, the big thing was that the grandpa was, like, he used Windex for everything. So he's like, yeah, just use Windex. And that's supposed to be really hilarious for some reason. Just use Windex for everything.
Also, I don't know. Like, weren't they in their, like, 40s or something? Maybe it's like a romance movie for people that are in their 40s.
Yeah, something. Like older, like 30s maybe. I don't know. But yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. But there's just nothing good about this movie. And they made a sequel to it, which was just as terrible. But yeah, My Big Fat Greek.
There's a sequel to that one? I knew there was a Joe Dirt too, but there's a Big Fat Greek one too?
Yes, there is. And it's terrible, just as terrible.
Okay, well, speaking of terrible, this movie I put on here, Bad Santa. I can't stand Billy Bob Thornton. I can't really explain why, but like I think he's a terrible actor, and he ruins everything for me that he's in. And the jokes just fall flat in this movie. Like, the kid that he's, like, crashing with or whatever he's doing with that kid, he's just not really a likable kid. I mean, yeah, like, I didn't care about him. Like, Billy Bob's Santa did wanted to fuck every woman in the ass, which was supposed to be, like, this hilarious joke. Like, because I had no friends that liked the movie, and they're like, oh, it's so funny, he wants to fuck him in the ass. okay, he likes anal. That's okay. They could tell the joke better because they didn't really do a good job of telling it. So, fuck Bad Santa and Zoolander, which I volunteered for Eric because, yeah, he's many times said how he hates Zoolander.
I have Zoolander too. I never said I hated Zoolander.
You've said you hate Zoolander.
Yeah. I said I hate Zoolander too.
No, because we argued with you about Zoolander.
Yeah.
I just said it's just not a movie I didn't like. I never said I hated it.
Okay, well, still, it's on the list. But can I go first on this one?
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
I'm not going to pick Bad Santa, and I'll tell you why. I there's one scene where he is fucking this chick, and I thought it was pretty funny because she was like, fuck me Santa.
You know,
that was to me that's what made that movie fun, that particular scene. But I agree with you, for the rest of the movie was just bad. So I'm picking Zoolander just for that reason. At least there was a scene where you know, the chick was like,
there's
getting off.
There's a bad Santa too, by the way.
Yes, there is, and it's bad too. But I'm picking Zoolander. I'm sorry, Brake.
Eric, which one do you
want? I'm picking Bad Santa.
Bad Santa. I am also picking Bad Santa. So Bad Santa's guys, moving on.
You guys suck, man. Fuck me Santa. The Fuck Me Santa scene was awesome, man. How dare you guys?
Okay. Next, we have one from Frank. Jack and Jill.
Oh, God. One of the worst movies I think I've ever seen in my life. This is Adam Sandler playing both Jack and Jill, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you're correct. It is both the sister and the brother, yes.
And all the jokes fall flat. Like, there's really...
Wasn't this, like, the last movie he did until, like, he did a bunch of Netflix stuff?
No, this is a Netflix movie, I believe.
Oh.
I think this came out earlier than
oh,
that.
Oh, really? Wow. Wow.
I think this was, like, before he started doing, like, his went into doing drama, like...
Oh, I got you. Like, Gems, Hidden Gems.
Uncut Gems.
Yeah, yeah, stuff like that.
Uncut, yeah. I just think it's just... I don't know. You talk about low rent comedy, and sometimes I like low rent comedy, but this there was just nothing funny about this particular brand of low rent comedy. This is to me, this is Adam Sandler's worst movie. I like Adam Sandler. I like his dramatic side, and I like some of his humor, like Billy Madison. I really liked. You know, there's even Hubert Halloween. I thought was really good. You know,
I
so
like Hubert Halloween, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Halloween.
Whatever
it was called, like he's Hubie and
Hubie Halloween.
Like yeah. No matter what he's doing, like they're throwing stuff at him everywhere he goes.
Yeah, I kind of like that movie. I thought it was charming and had its, you know, good points. Even like that movie where he was a devil. I can't remember that movie's name, but
Little
I thought
Nicky.
Little Nicky. I thought that was pretty good.
Waterboy.
Yeah, yeah. Waterboy was okay. I mean, just Jack and Jill was just the lowest of the low. That's why I put it on the list, man.
To me, his best movies were his first two, Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, and it really just went down from there. And Jack and Jill was, like I said, it went down from there, and Jack and Jill was like at the end of this period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jack and Jill is an absolutely abysmal movie. But the next movie I think is even worse, the Garbage Pail Kids. That's right, kids. Those cards that you used to collect that made fun of the Cabbage Patch Kids, they fucking turned into a comedy back in the 80s, and it was the most unfunny movie I've ever seen. It was kind of depressing, too. Like, the Garbage Pail Kids were aliens from another race, and most of them had been wiped out at that point. And bad special effects, and it's just one of those movies you're like, why did they make this?
Mm-hmm.
This is bullshit. This should not exist.
Yeah.
Fuck that movie. It scarred me for life.
Ooh. So I guess it's up to Eric, here. Right? I mean,
I haven't seen either of these, but...
You're lucky.
Yeah. But I'm voting for Garbage Pail Kids, I guess.
Yeah.
I am also voting for Garbage Pail Kids. Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, I'm voting for Jack and Jill because I just think it's one of the worst fucking pieces of junk. Garbage Pail Kids, at least it had Garbage Pail Kids in it.
Go watch the movie. You will agree with me after you watch
it. I've seen it. I've seen the movie, man.
Garbage Pail Kids and you still like...
I think Jack and Jill is a worse movie than Garbage, but I think Garbage Pail Kids is garbage as well. But, you know, but, I mean, all these movies are pretty much garbage, man, except for a couple. But
well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. There are a few that are real subjective, depending on how people feel.
Right.
Next is not really subjective. This is a terrible movie. Frank, you brought us this one. Bucky Larson.
Oh, Bucky Larson is one of those skits from Saturday Night Live, but... way worse than any skit on Saturday Night Live.
They made a movie off the skit? I don't even remember.
I don't think it was a skit even
on... It's like not a skit, but he's saying it was like an
episode. Yeah, it's... And I like Nick Swardson. I think he's actually really funny stand-up and all that. But holy fuck, is this movie, like, worthless? Like, there's... I mean, it's about this buck-tooth guy that's getting into porn. I don't even know what the fucking premise was. That's how fucking bad it was. So bad. Bucky Larson is probably one of the worst movies, one of the biggest budgeted movies ever made, in my opinion. So yeah, it's definitely on this list.
Eric, Zoolander 2.
I'm voting for Zoolander 2.
No, what you trash. Gotta tell us why Zoolander 2 is on this list. It's your movie.
Zoolander Fun was an alright movie with a few jokes here and there, but Zoolander 2 was like the most unnecessary sequel ever. And it's about them having the kids and then, or one of them having a kid and then the other one just, they're basically retired. And it was just, it's like all the good jokes from Zoolander 1 just weren't present at all. Like, they didn't have any of the same kind of energy. And it was just, oh, look at this. It's a goofy thing happened. Let's laugh.
Okay. Since I am actually the one who has seen both of these movies, but I didn't select either one of them, I actually have to agree with Frank. Bucky Larson, like, it's one of those movies, like, I don't think I watched all of it. I'm pretty sure I stopped watching it just because it was like, fuck this.
The only good thing about Zoolander 2 is that Bieber dies in the beginning.
Yeah.
So, my pick is.
Yeah, I'm definitely going Bucky Larson break because of everything I said. It just an awful movie. And I like Nick Swartzen a lot. I think he's really funny. He was really funny in Grandma's Boy.
He was good in Grandma's Boy. And Eric's right. I mean, Zoolander 2 is the most unnecessary sequel that's probably ever existed.
Yeah. Are you picking Zoolander 2, Eric?
Zoolander.
Why? Yeah. Eric, you picking Zoolander?
That's also many years after the original. They didn't even make it immediately after the first movie. It's like, well, I wonder what took so long and why they ended up making it in the first place.
Money.
But it's a money grab. But I'm voting for Zoolander 2 because I have no frame of reference for Bucky Larson.
Oh, man. You should watch Bucky Larson, Eric. I think you'd agree, man. So bad. All right.
Next, we have one that both me and Frank agree on. I'll let Frank do the description on it. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, God. Mrs. Doubtfire is one of those movies where, okay, so basically the premise of the movie is this guy creeps his way into drag to go, not that there's anything wrong with drag, but he dresses as a woman so he could get involved back with his kid's life. So his ex-wife is being stalked by himself, and this is supposed to be an endearing movie, a feel-good movie, right? And it was a box office smash, and I remember when I first saw this movie thinking the same thing that I'm thinking now. This motherfucker should be in fucking jail for a very fucking long time. Long time. Because he's an asshole. And throughout the whole movie, we're supposed to think he's one of these charming, you know, people that just wants to be close to his kid.
We're supposed to love him.
Yes, you know? Yes. And I hello! And I'm like, I want to fucking punch this motherfucker in his mouth for doing what he's doing, is what I was thinking the entire time.
It's like you're thinking at the beginning of the movie, you see him in court and the judge saying, like, you're an actor and I don't believe you. Like, yeah, the judge was fucking right.
Right.
You know?
Right. This goes back to, like, The Breakfast Club, how the administrator was just doing his job. Well, this judge was just doing his job.
He was doing the right thing, obviously, because the guy's unhinged to do what he did.
Yes, and that's why I put it on here, and that's also going to be my pick, because I know what it's going up against, Break.
Next is Talladega Nights, and this is from Eric.
I'm going to vote for...
No, you got to tell us why you put it on the list.
Oh, all right. I was just thinking of movies at the top of my head. I really didn't put much thought into it. But I guess if I had to pin it for anything, is that Will Ferrell just stopped being funny after SNL. If you, in my opinion, he kind of failed to take off solo. And I think his only success in the theaters was probably the first Anchorman movie. The second Anchorman movie, maybe, because there's a fair number of jokes in the second movie. They were pretty funny. But
I agree with Eric on this, though, Break. I think Talladega Nights should definitely be on this list because it was awful. It wasn't, to me, it wasn't that funny. But still, Miss Doubtfire's worse.
But I think the only good joke in Talladega Nights is when they all had their corporate fast food dinner and prayed to Jesus.
Yeah.
But that was it.
I actually do not hate Talladega Nights. It's not like one of those. It's not world-beating comedy, but it's like if I can't reach the remote control, it's like okay, well, I guess I'll watch this until I got pee. I'm gonna start this one out with Mrs. Doubtfire because I agree with Frank. Like he's a creeper for God's sake.
Yes.
And the movie's supposed to be funny, and you're supposed to like him, but the movie starts out with him like violating the lives of his kids and his ex-wife. It's like, well, no wonder she wanted to get away from him.
Yeah, he should be in jail, no doubt. Absolutely.
And it's supposed to be funny. Like, the only funny joke was in the preview for the movie, too. Like, oh, man, that was like, this is not a funny movie. It's not uplifting. This is fucked up, is what this is.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of depressing because this guy definitely has mental issues, right? To go to those lengths to to do what he did. Like, it's fucked up, man. Go to jail. Like, that's where you belong.
Well, he belongs in a hospital, I think. But anyway, so Mrs. Doubtfire moves on because, you know, we both agree on that one. Next, we have Men in Black 2, which I put on this list. Fuck you, Men in Black 2. I love Men in Black. Men in Black is probably, like, one of my top 20 favorite movies. I love the original
Men in Black.
Wow. I could never have been more disappointed with the sequel.
Wow. I hated both of those movies, but...
Okay. Well, you're fucking wrong. Vincent DeForio is amazing in the first one.
It's fucking horrible, Will Brakeman. Smith
and what's his name? They play off each other so well. I really love the first movie.
God, I hate both of those movies. The second
one, they got... Rip Torn doing waifu.
Yeah, yeah. Rip Torn.
Fucking, what was that? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Yeah.
With a man who's in his 70s and mentally deranged? I hate Men in Black 2. Next is Dodgeball, and this is from Eric.
I put Dodgeball in many for the same reasons as Talladega Nights, and... I think any movie with Vince Vaughn in it just automatically sucks. he's not a great protagonist in the film. He had no presence. And the antagonist, Ben Stiller, was a show stealer for the most part. But even then, the movie wasn't that funny.
Wow, two movies with Rip Torn in it. Who would have thought?
That's a good one.
I get to go first on this one.
I did the list. Oh my god, you're right.
I get to go first on this one because you guys picked these movies.
And I want to say, like, Dodgeball was okay, but I mostly agree with Eric. Like, I wasn't just Dodgeball was just a big hit and stuff like that. But Ben Stiller was the best part of the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I disagree. There's one scene and it involves Rip Torn in Dodgeball that's actually really funny. Yeah, with the wrenches. Like, I mean, what better way to make people fucking really move than throw fucking real wrenches at them, right? So I think that was a genius scene. And for that, like, actually, Men in Black 2, both Men in... I know you're going to disagree with me, Brake, but both of those movies fucking suck ass. Men in Black 2 tried to recreate what they did in Men in Black 1 and failed miserably. But even the premise of Men in Black 1 fucking blows. I hate that movie almost as much as I hate Men in Black 2, but Men in Black 2 moves on for me anyways.
So I think the premise of Men in Black was, what if we did Ghostbusters but aliens?
Yes, yes, yes. And it was a horrible and Evolution version.
Was, what if we did Men in Black but you know,
yeah,
like Spores or whatever the fuck it
Evolution
was.
Evolution was more like, oh, remember when Ghostbusters was a big hit? What if we tried to redo that again?
Yeah. I don't know. For me, Men in Black 2, I agree with you. It's worse than the first, for sure. But its lineage is just pretty bad anyways.
And oh, that reminds me. When I went to go see it, I saw Men in Black 2 for free because I sold Sprint phones at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sprint promoted the movie, and people didn't see the cut that we did. Anytime like there was like a Sprint phone or something on it, they lingered on the Sprint products in the movie.
Oh my god, that would have made it worse.
Which is another reason I hated it too. Like, so it was like oh, what? Okay, well,
product placement, yay.
Yeah, but then I saw it like years later, and they didn't have the product placement like that. Just the version that we saw, like paid for by Sprint.
Oh my god, awful. But yeah, Men in Black for me.
I agree, Men in Black 2. Move on, fuck you, Men in Black 2. Next up, we have Joe Dirt 2, which was actually Freak who did that one. Have you seen Joe Dirt 2, Frank?
I think I saw 5 minutes of it, and I was like, nope.
Somewhere like it.
Yeah, nope. I'm not doing this one. I got bamboozled with the first one. Not going to get bamboozled with the second one.
Oh, well, I put the next one on here, the Jetsons movie. This is one I saw in the theaters. Because my mom won tickets to it, unfortunately. it's supposed to be like a kid's movie, and I didn't really like the Jetsons show to begin with, because it took like a 1 minute joke and turned it into a 30 minute episode of a show every time. Like, the whole, like, ooh, look, he pushes the one button and it does his whole job. And you go back to that scene every fucking episode.
I agree. The Jetsons.
The one button again.
Jetsons kind of overrated, for sure. Brakeman, for sure.
the movie tried to appeal to a younger audience by focusing more on the daughter, if I remember it right. Mm-hmm. And there's a club scene she's in, and it was a boring piece of shit turd. The Jetsons, like you said, was overrated to begin with, but the movie is one of those abysmal things that should have never happened.
Yeah, I think for the rest of this tourney, we should just go through them instead of describing, because we got a long ways to go, Ray.
Oh, shit. My bad. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Eric, you start.
I'm voting for the Jetsons movie because I saw it and didn't care for it.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Frank? I'm going to pick Joe Dirt 2 just because it was shitty, like everything I've seen about it, but I'm fine with the Jetsons moving on.
Yeah, and Jetsons are moving on because I didn't see Joe Dirt and I hate the Jetsons. Next, we have, I think this is probably the one movie that we actually all agreed with, Freddy Got Fingered versus Police Academy Mission to Moscow. Police Academy Mission to Moscow is on this list because they had already killed the Police Academy franchise by the point Moscow had come out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was still like, okay, well, this is what is this, like pissing on the grave now?
Yeah.
It should have probably died with the fourth movie, but now they made a fifth and a sixth, and then they made that one.
That being said, Breakman, Freddy Got Fingered, I think, is going to get the nod from all of us, man. Like, I don't even think... I mean, it's literally one of the worst movies ever made. Like, honestly, like, I don't think any of us are going to... Does anybody disagree? Do you disagree, nope. Break?
Okay. No, I hate that movie.
Yeah, it's terrible. And I like Tom Green, by the way.
I walked out of the theater, but like I said, I wrote with somebody else.
I think we're all going to agree on the next one, too.
Yeah.
Maybe. Next, we have the action bracket, and we're going to start with Double Dragon, which is the worst video game adaptation movie I ever saw, which is saying a lot, versus Terminator Salvation, which I haven't seen, but is universally loathed by Terminator fans, which I am a Terminator fan, I just haven't seen Salvation. Yeah. Let me see. I put Dragon, Frank with Salvation. Eric, you can start.
I'm going with Double Dragon. Such a turd. Yeah, Salvation at least had some interesting aspects to it.
Yeah,
and Double Dragon, kind of screwball.
Of all the video game premises, Double Dragon's got the simplest.
Yeah, yeah.
How could you fuck that up?
Exactly.
You could have just had like got two brothers fighting a bunch of guys, martial artist movie. Yeah. Essentially, you could have got like Dolph Lundgren or not Dolph Lundgren. But,
Dolph Lundgren would have been awesome.
If you ask me, the movie so foul it inspired a Neo Geo fighting game.
Ugh. Horrible.
And it was made in Japan and not released in the West, but it exists.
I think Double Dragon's awful. Terminator Salvation, at least special effects are pretty awesome. You know,
at least I think it wasn't released in the West. I could be wrong.
Next, we have the third X-Men movie. You killed off my favorite character at the very beginning of the movie. That pisses me off, and then the rest of the movie sucked. Anyway.
Yeah.
Even though you had another one of my favorite, you brought another one of my favorites in there, but killing Cyclops was just, that was too much for me. Fuck you, X-Men 3. versus Waterworld, which was, Frank hates that movie.
Oh, God. I hate Waterworld with a fucking passion. Dennis Hopper be damned. I mean, this movie sucked. It was awful. I went to the theater to see this, and I was, like, so hopeful. Mm. But for me, it's Waterworld. So I guess that leaves Eric as the tiebreaker.
Let me tell you one thing, Eric. If you haven't seen Waterworld, there are boobs in it.
There's boobs in Waterworld?
I haven't seen it, and I did not like X-Men 3 all that much. I'm voting for X-Men 3. Last stand.
I can't believe
boobs in he meets that girl for the first time and she flashes him to get what she wants.
Really? I don't even remember that. That's how unmemorable.
I don't forget about boobs. Waterworld. Next we have Catwoman versus Van Helsing. I put Van Helsing on here. I think Frank put Catwoman.
I put Catwoman, but I'm going to tell you right now, Breakman, I'm going with Van Helsing because I totally forgot about that movie, and at least you had the awesome Catwoman suit that Halle Berry wore. So,
oh my God, Frank!
Yep,
love you, Frank. Eric, what do you say?
I'm voting for Van Helsing because I think
It was one of the worst.
Hugh Jackman.
Viggo couldn't save the movie.
He such a terrible, abysmal movie. Like, you want, like, it was such a cool idea, but everything they did was absolutely the opposite of cool.
Yeah.
And next, this one might be a little harder for Frank, but I think me and Eric already know our pick.
I think I know what you guys are going to pick. Yeah. I mean, my pick would be Blade Trinity, because it's the fucking...
So, well, Blade Trinity versus Dragon Ball Evolution, and I actually agree with you, Frank. I hate Blade Trinity.
Yeah.
But Dragon Ball Evolution, like, it just...
It's one of the worst movies.
It does have one saving grace. It's only 60 minutes.
Yeah. Dragon Ball Evolution, though. I mean, at least there are some cool effects in Blade Trinity. I'll agree with you guys
on Dragon Ball. It took a torch to the Dragon Ball universe and then shit on the flames.
Yes, yes.
And then if you ask me, that shitty low-budget live-action Chinese, or was it... I think it was a Chinese movie for Dragon Ball was probably better than Evolution being.
I agree.
Especially since it was more closely related to the actual source material.
I think we're all going to agree on this next one, Break.
Yeah, maybe. Next, we have a movie I absolutely hate, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. That's to me, that's sort of like the Van Helsing. This, you got this bloated cast.
Yes.
Not likable. Yeah. They don't do anything interesting. You don't want to root for them.
Not even Sean Connery could save that movie. It's pretty bad.
Versus the most notorious video game movie of all time, Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
To me, it's Annihilation, man. I don't even, like, some people can find, like, the fun in it, like, it's so bad it's good type thing. I just think it's so bad it's bad. I don't find any enjoyment in that movie whatsoever. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is pretty boring, but, oh my god, Annihilation's so bad. I have to go with Annihilation, Break.
I'm actually gonna go next, and I'm actually gonna go with Annihilation as well, because... Yeah. And I've talked about it before, I liked the Mortal Kombat story.
Me too.
Interesting and stuff. Me too. Mortal Kombat Annihilation couldn't even do that, right?
Yeah.
I'm voting for it as well.
The costumes
are so bad.
Little kids on Halloween dress better than those guys.
Yes, that's a great point, Break. Great point.
All
right.
Anyway, Mortal Kombat moves on, and that's we all agree on that one. Next, we have the Batman segment of our bracket here, because Batman took up a few spots, and honestly, I could put a bunch more Batman movies on here. Batman the Killing Joke versus Batman versus Superman, Batman v Superman. I put that one. Eric put the Killing Joke. But when I saw the Killing Joke, and I had to agree with Eric, it's just wow. That's a movie that didn't need to happen. You know
what I mean?
Batman versus Superman's extended edition, or whatever it was called, it was much better than the original.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's why I'm voting for the Killing Joke.
Yeah, I'm also voting for the Killing Joke because how could they fuck up such a great comic so badly? And you had fucking Mark Hamill.
It turned into an exploitation, is what they did.
Yes, it was so
bad.
It was
supposed to be like a comic with a point, like a very valid points, and it was trying to make, and they turned it into an exploitation movie.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. I'm going with Killing Joke, man. And like Eric said, the extended version of Batman Superman much better, even though it wasn't great. At least it was better.
I don't think it was. I hated the extended version too. I thought that
really. I like the extended version a little bit better. I don't know, but whatever.
Ben Affleck is not a good Batman.
No, I agree. I agree with that as well.
Next, we have back to the Batman segment: Batman and Harley Quinn. Which both me and Eric saw. And
you put a Y in there for some reason. It doesn't need it.
I don't know. Versus Batman Forever. Which
actually, I think it might be just Batman and Harley. But I could be wrong.
Batman and Harley? Okay. I'll just put... Whatever. Since we put those both on there, Frank, you can start.
I'm going with Batman Forever. Because that was the exact opposite of what a Batman movie should be. I know they were going for campiness and all that, but holy fuck was it so bad. And I think George Clooney was the Batman in that one, right?
No, that's the next one.
Oh, that it's Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer. Who was it?
Val Kilmer.
Yes. He was an awful Batman as well. But not nearly as bad as George Clooney, but still... Batman Forever sucked.
Yeah, that's why I put that one instead of Batman and Robin. I was going to put Batman and Robin, but I was like, well, by that time, Batman franchise was already dead because Forever was just so terrible.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I would have probably put Batman and Robin before Batman Forever, but still, it was just
It was just because they're both terrible, so it was a hard pick choice.
Yeah, right? I know.
But you get to go first, Frank.
I'm going with Batman Forever, man. It's easy.
Eric? Batman Forever bad. I'm voting for it.
Yeah.
I'm also going Batman Forever. I thought one of us might have gone Batman and Harley, but Batman Forever moves on. The last of the action bracket, we have the Avengers. Don't freak out, everybody, because I'm not talking about, you know, Iron Man and Captain America. I'm talking about the British television show that they made into an action movie.
Oh, my God.
Where Sean Connery dressed as a terrorist in a teddy bear suit.
I think this is why the first Avengers movie is just called Avengers, not the Avengers.
Avengers, yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those movies I quit watching because it was so bad. But it's going up against another movie I quit watching because it was so bad, Battlefielder by Frank. Since these were both of ours, Eric, you start.
I'm going to vote for Battlefielder. It looks like it's the shittiest movie ever. I never wanted to see it ever.
It is one of the shittiest movies ever made. Battlefield Earth was one of the biggest fucking piece of shit science fiction movies I ever forced myself to watch. It was like watching, I could have watched fucking paint dry literally with like mauve colors.
Let's give a 50-year-old John Travolta dreadlocks for no reason and like weird chivalry shit on his face.
It was so bad, man. And
wasn't it based on an L. Ron Hubbard book?
Yes, and L. Ron Hubbard is a piece of fucking trash, yeah. Man. His books suck. Fuck L. Ron Hubbard, man. Man, all that Scientology bullshit that we got is now... Fuck L. Ron Hubbard and fuck Battlefield Earth. The book was not great. I read it, right? And it wasn't even great then, and it translated terribly to a movie. So for me, it's Battlefield Earth break.
Battlefield Earth moves on, even though I pick Avengers, because I fucking hated that movie.
I hated that movie, too. I agree with you, break. It's awful.
I don't know why they made it. I mean... At what point did Sean Connery say, "Oh, this teddy bear outfit, that's fine, this is a good idea"?
Hey, if somebody puts $10 million in front of you, Breakman, to wear a teddy bear outfit, are you going to deny it? I wouldn't.
But he was James Bond.
But at that point, in his career, bro, like they were just offering him money for anything, you know. So yeah,
his last movies were absolutely terrible garbage. Next, we have the horror bracket, and this is the final bracket. This is the one where, like, I could probably make a whole thing of just horror movies, you know. Really, we could make a whole thing of any genre. But anyway, horror. I had to thin this one down because we had more horrors than any.
She said horrors.
Me and Mrs. Breakman saw this in a movie theater because did we win tickets to go see that? We won free tickets to go see I Know Who Killed Me, starring Lindsay Lohan as twins versus a movie from Freak Poltergeist. I Know Who Killed Me was supposed to be like a torture porn horror movie. It was so bad I started laughing halfway through. Like while she's being tortured, and
so it was an actual
other people in the audience.
Hold on, Breakman. I thought this was a parody movie. I Know Who Killed Me.
Apparently, that's what I. By that point, I was kind of in on that too, it being a parody because. Yeah, like, when I started laughing, other people in the audience started laughing, too.
No,
like,
but you mean to tell me this is an actual horror movie and not, like, one of those parody movies, like, I know What You Did on Fifth Avenue last fall type movies? Is it a real horror movie, I Know Who Killed Me?
It's supposed to be.
Oh, my God, okay. I mean, all right.
It was a movie that didn't seem to know what it wanted to be. Like, at one point, it's like a torture porn movie. At another, it's just straight horror. At a certain point, it tried to be a comedy movie. And that's why you know it's not a parody, because they tried their... Like, there's a section where they're being straight, like, this is a comedy.
Wow.
Yeah. And like I said, at one point, she's being tortured, and I just couldn't help but laugh. It was just so bad.
Yeah.
And when the rest of the audience is laughing, you know it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to laugh. So, I'm going to find out who killed me. Frank?
I think I'm also going to go with that, because I honestly thought that was one of those shitty, like, you know, like, there's a movie called Vampire Sucks that, like, makes fun of the Twilight movies, or I thought I Know Who Killed Me was a riff on I Know What You Did Last Summer, or something. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I thought when you put it on there, so, apparently I was wrong, but I'm going to pick that because Poltergeist, as terrible as it is, Poltergeist, it had...
No, Poltergeist.
That's what I said, Poltergeist.
No, I'm sorry, Miss Breakman thought you said Poltergeist.
Poltergeist sucks too, sorry. That's an overrated piece of shit movie, by the way, that should have been on this list. Because fucking Toby Hooper... They list Toby Hooper as the director, but Steven Spielberg actually directed Poltergeist, and it was much darker, and it should have been much better than what it was. I think Poltergeist sucked, but Poltergeist at least had a little bit of heart. It was really bad, no doubt, but it was one of those B movies that had a little bit of heart. If you guys want to see a good movie about a turkey, watch Thanksgiving, which I reviewed last week. I think it's so stupid, but so fun at the same time. But I'm going with I Know Who Killed Me, Breakman.
I haven't seen either of these. So I think I'm just going to vote for Poltergeist.
All right.
Yes, moving on, next we have Nightmare on Elm Street remake, which I liked.
You gotta be fucking joking me, Breakman. You have to be joking. You liked the fucking remake?
I thought what's his name did a good job.
Holy fucking shit, Breakman. You're the first
movie. I know. Even Mrs. Breakman agrees with you. I'm the only one.
You are the only person I have ever met that likes Nightmare on Elm Street remake. This was one of the most piece of shit remakes I have ever fucking... They didn't get anything right. They got nothing right.
Would you let me interrupt for a second?
Yes, go ahead.
I know you're right, but I still enjoyed it, okay?
Oh my god, Breakman. Jesus Christ, Breakman. We're going to have to like reprogram you a little bit on this one, Breakman. Let me break it down for you, Breakman. They got nothing right in this movie. The makeup. The only thing they got right is the actor. I like James Earl Haley or whatever the fuck his name is.
He's a really good actor.
He's really good.
I thought he was great as
he's
Freddy.
He's really, really good. But they turned this movie into something completely different for the worse, right? Okay, so they played on the molestation aspect of it, all right? Okay, I guess. Which, that's what the first movie was supposed to be, too. But,
yeah, like I thought they hinted about that in the first movie, and I know everybody was freaking out about that being in this movie, but I thought that was in the original.
None of the acting in this movie was good, not even his, and he's really good in most of his movies. He was great as Warshak. He was awesome as Warshak, but as Freddy Krueger, he was awful. They didn't get the makeup. They made him, okay, I know he was burned alive, but you could have at least made him look a little more demonic, a little more menacing. He looked like a burned fucking Funko or something in this movie. He did not look menacing at all. Any of his lines were not menacing. He couldn't even laugh right. There was nothing menacing. The whole premise of Robert Englund's Freddy was that he was fucking menacing, right? And he had all these wicked fucking powers in the dream world and all this shit. They didn't do any of that in this movie. And the fucking teen angst from the other actors, the younger actors, what the fuck? The casting was awful. I'm like, you could have picked almost any... You could have picked the dude from that Malcolm in the Middle show, and he would have been better in this fucking movie than any of those piece of shit actors. This movie sucked fucking ass. It's awful. It is a blight on humanity that they remade Nightmare on Elm Street this bad, right? And
I'm glad I said I liked it just for your rant.
Look at this. But look, check this out, Breakman. I'm also going to rant on the next one. So this is why this is... these are the two...
Halloween made by the remake by Rob Zombie. I did not see this one.
Remember how I said that this was the worst horror remake ever? I forgot about Halloween by Rob Zombie. That is the worst remake I've ever fucking seen in my life. All right?
I like how I paired the remakes there.
They fucking... Look, check this out, guys. Both of these movies are blasphemous, but Halloween is even more blasphemous than The Nightmare on Elm Street, because Do you want to talk about not getting anything right? The fucking mask sucked. The actor sucked. The premise sucked. Instead of it being maybe some type of supernatural fucking... They called him the Shape for a fucking reason, Michael Myers, right? In this fucking movie, right? He's just got some psychological issues. And he just kills for no fucking... Like, you know, just because... You know, it wasn't like the first one where he was super menacing with his mask and he would, you know, they made this story where he killed somebody at an early age and that's that. This one, the actor was like, just walking around. Child actor, right? I'm fine with child acting, but it was all wrong. And then you have Malcolm McDowell in this movie who takes over for Donald Pleasance's role of Loomis, which I thought was, on the surface, should have been brilliant. But all you get is him for the whole movie. Michael! 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 And I'm like, you have an A-list fucking actor and you can't give him any fucking lines in this movie? It's no wonder that McDowell is a fucking asshole because nobody ever gives him anything good to do anymore. Right? He's an A-list fucking great actor and all he's doing in this movie is like, Michael! Mike! And he does it in part two, too. Which is even worse. So, look, I know I ranted on both of these, but by the very slimmest of margins, just because I hate Halloween a little bit more, I'm giving it to Halloween. I could go on and on all night about these movies, Breakman.
I'm obviously going with Halloween, so it's moving on. But what are you doing, Eric?
Also, Halloween. I haven't seen either of them, but
oh god, they're
based
both
on what you said.
Jesus Christ, they're
make
both.
Make it a trifecta. Next is this. I haven't seen this one. Season of the Witch. By Eric and I edit Annabelle.
Okay. I wasn't involved in either of these, so I'm going to go first on this. Season of the Witch is Halloween 3. It's actually a decent movie if you take it out of the Halloween universe. So I'm...
Oh, I'm an idiot. Yeah, okay. I know what I'm talking about now. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about this the Ron Perlman and movie.
Okay, see, that's what I thought you were talking about. Yeah,
Perlman, which movie is... What?
There's a movie called Season of the Witch. That's what I thought you were talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, I never seen that one. So
what are you talking about, Frank? You showed it to us for movie night.
Season of the Witch with Ron Perlman?
Yeah.
Is that the
Ron Perlman, I think, and Nick Cage?
Was that the witch movie we watched that night?
Yeah.
What? Okay, hold on. It's got to be a different name because I'm not recognizing this. I'm gonna look this up real quick. Hold on, you guys talk while I look.
Well, you're looking it up. I'm gonna go with Annabelle's because Annabelle is one of those big whole movies we talk about building stuff up and then nothing ever happening. And this one, to top it off, it ended with most of nothing happening except for an innocent woman sacrificing her soul for no good reason.
Okay, I never showed this movie, but I've seen this movie. It's with Nicolas Cage and Ron Perlman. All right.
What are you talking about? You did it for movie night.
No, I didn't.
I don't remember.
You must have seen somebody else's movie night, Eric. I didn't do Season of the Witch. No way, dude.
Which movie? I remember which movie.
This wasn't it, man. This is, but
you clearly have a faulty memory, Frank.
I
think Eric's right. I'm sorry, Frank, but I think Eric's right.
I think you're both out of your fucking mind, man. But
you hated it so much, Frank, you decided to purge it from your memory.
Maybe that's the case. I guess for that reason, I'm gonna go with Season of the Witch, but for reasons unknown, man.
You even asked us, like, doesn't it sound like a good D&D campaign?
Oh, fuck, man. Maybe you guys are right. But I don't remember playing. But it's bad. It's really, really fucking bad, man. But Annabelle is really terrible too, and which sucks because the sequel was fucking good. Did you see the sequel, Breakman?
No.
It's good. It's really good. The sequel's really good.
I've heard the sequel's good, but the first one it's one of those movies. It's like, why did you even make this? And why is it like this could have been like a half hour television show or something?
Yeah. Okay. All right, you guys are right. I picked Season of the Witch, so it's up to Eric, right?
I'm voting for Season of the Witch.
I was gonna say he's got Season of the Witch, I got Annabelle, so Season of the Witch is moving on.
Alright.
Season of the Witch. Next we have Troll 2 by Frank and Velocipastor from Freak. And Frank, you should start.
Okay, I'm not going for Troll 2, my pick, because it has too much heart. I've talked about heart in movies before. It's still a terrible movie that everybody should watch, but the documentary on it is even better. You guys should watch the documentary called The Best Worst Movie Ever Made. But Velocipastor has to be one of the shittiest horror movies I've ever seen in my life, bar none. I've seen it. Do you remember that one, Bernie? The Loss of Pastor?
Awful.
It was shitty, wasn't it?
It was a garbage movie. Yeah. There was no redeeming qualities about it.
No, it's basically about a pastor that turns into a velociraptor. So, Velocipastor moves on for me.
It sounds like they came up with a kind of cool name and they made a story around the name.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
Like, this is going to be a cool comic book. Oh, we can make it into a movie. Yeah. So I guess what do you want, Eric?
I'm voting for Velocipastor because at least Troll 2 has that one weird sequence with the terribly bad acting that's campy and meme-y.
Oh yeah, one of the lines in Troll 2, I got to tell you guys, is you know, you can't piss on hospitality. That's one of the lines in it. It's really bad.
Can't piss on hospitality.
Oh yeah, man, you gotta see it, dude. It's
I think that should be the title of the show.
Don't piss on hospitality. Oh man, that's funny. All right.
I'm gonna go with you guys because I've never seen either one of these movies, so Velocipastor moves on. Just because, I mean, it's a terrible idea.
I would recommend watching Troll 2 at least once, Breakman. Just watch it. It's fun to watch if nothing else.
Okay. Next, there's a movie I don't recommend you watch: Paranormal Activity versus Freaks, Zombie-esque Toilet of the Dead. I have never seen that. I have to go with Paranormal Activity. It's a found footage, stupid shit, bullshit movie. You know, Frank, you're next.
Okay, this is easy for me. Zombie-ass Toilet of the Dead has some heart to it. It's a terrible movie with a terrible premise of, like, people, like, farting and, like, causing zombieism, I guess. But Paranormal Activity is 90 minutes of nothing happening and 1 minute of something happening at the very end. It is boring Paranormal Activity for me.
The farting zombie, farting to turn people into zombies sounds kind of funny to me.
It's a funny movie. I actually had some fun watching Zombie Ass Toilet of the Dead. So, yeah.
So, I'm voting for Paranormal Activity as well.
Yeah. It's overrated beyond overrated. If you want to see it, if you want to see, there's one sequel that was actually decent. It's called The Marked Ones that people hate the worst. That's the one that you should watch. Marked Ones. It was actually the best of the series and had some scary.
Isn't that the third one?
It's like the third one, I think. It's called Marked Ones. It ties everything in pretty good, I thought. But you know, who am I? But
all right. Anyway, next we have Paranormal Activity moves on. Next we have Resident Evil from Frank and Zombies from Freak. I've never seen Zombies, but I like Resident Evil, so I'm going to start and going to vote for Zombies. Frank, you're next.
I'm going with Resident Evil. I think Resident Evil is the most overrated movies of all time. I know some people like it. I think it's shit. I think Mila Jovovich is one of the most wooden actresses to work in Hollywood. I don't think she can act her way out of a paper bag. People like her just because she's good looking. There was only one movie that I saw with her in it that I actually kind of liked, and it was like this movie. It was like kind of a thriller movie with these two other dudes are on an island. I can't even remember what it's called. But everything else I've ever seen.
You didn't like Fifth Element then.
I like Fifth Element, but what did she add to that movie at all? Nothing. She plays the same character in every movie.
She is like a mute in that movie.
Yeah, she's like, well, she's a mute in every movie, even when she talks, man. She's terrible.
I'm not trying to be mean to anybody who can't actually talk. I'm saying like her.
No,
like,
I agree.
She can physically talk. She just doesn't.
Yeah. Right. Ugh. But she's terrible in Resident Evil, and that whole movie was a travesty upon video games. They should have stuck with the mansion, which is what the first Resident Evil movie's basic whole premise was, and it would have been a much funner movie. I was sorely disappointed. Zombies, at least there's some B-movie, you know, camp to it with, you know, zombie fucking lions and other shit, but Resident Evil for me is just, there's nothing good about that movie at all. Eric, so I guess it's up to Eric to break the tie. Yeah.
You're voting Resident Evil?
Yeah. Oops.
Resident Evil moves on. We've got two more left. House of the Dead, which I've never seen, versus The Predator, which I've never seen, and I've been told it's good. I've never seen both of these, so I'm happy that I'm not. I think these were both from each of you, I'm going to go ahead and start. And I like the Predator franchise. House of the Dead, it's a fun gun game. I've never been ooh, we got to go play House of the Dead. But just for fucking with Predator, I'm voting for The Predator. Eric?
I never saw House of the Dead. I don't want to, but I really did not like The Predator, so fuck The Predator. I'm voting for that.
Ugh, I can't believe you guys voted for Predator over House of the Dead. Predator at least has some cool special effects. The only effects in House of the Dead are you know what they did in House of the Dead? They tried to, and here's why House of the Dead is uniquely terrible and should have moved on, guys. It intersperses the video game with the movie. I kid you not. And also, it did the Matrix thing, so it would have somebody like up in the air for no reason, and they.
I'm changing my vote.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Predator's bad. The Predator is bad, but it's not nearly as bad as House of the Dead. You guys got to watch.
They played actual game footage in the movie.
It's glorious, Breakman. You watch it, and all of a sudden, these little quick snippets of somebody playing, like, two-manned House of the Dead are interspersed throughout the movie. It's terrible. And I don't know if Uwe Boll did this one. I don't think he did.
He did?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes it even worse.
I don't think he did the sequel, though.
And whatever, but this movie is just, bad. Yeah.
Next up, so I changed my answer. So House of Dead moves on. If I'd known about that, and I would have voted for that in the very first time.
Oh, dude.
You told me there's like video game footage, because that's not like a heavy, graphically good looking game.
Oh no! They're right in the middle of it, you know. Yeah.
Next, and I thought it'd be fun to put these two movies against each other because they're so completely different, even though the one's a sequel to the other.
Yeah.
The Blair Witch versus Blair Witch 2.
Yeah.
Frank, you can start because you were the horror expert.
Okay. I'm going with Blair Witch, and I'll tell you why. Weiland actually sent me a cut of Blair Witch 2 that was closer to what the director wanted. And it doesn't make it a great movie, but it makes it a better movie. All right? Just the sequences and, you know, stuff like that. For me, it's a no-brainer. Why people think that Blair Witch is a seminal horror movie is fucking beyond me. You know how we talked about Paranormal Activity being 90 minutes of nothing and then something happens at the end? This movie was that before Paranormal Activity, right?
No, I disagree. This movie wasn't even that because there isn't anything that happens at the end. This is 100% nothing.
No. I actually do like the very end scene with the guy like up against the wall. That was sort of creepy, I guess. You could have kind of thought of it as creepy because he's just like standing there doing nothing. But I was just
watching it like, wait, the movie's over? What the fuck just happened?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Breakman. I think Blair Witch 1 is one of the worst movies I've ever seen, period.
I will say it had one of the most brilliant marketing campaigns.
No doubt. And then who in their right mind thought it was cool to see a close-up of a chick's boogers for about 30 fucking minutes of the movie? Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? This movie fucking sucks, and people love this movie, and I'm like, why? Why? And they have all these theories of what happened, and, you know, were the guys the real killers, and all. I tell you what, I'd really like to fucking shoot the director of this movie. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. You know, don't anybody take that.
Right.
But
a Nerf gun, yeah.
Yeah, with a Nerf gun. But holy fuck, is this movie bad. And at least two, like with the recut. I'm going to try to get Weiland to send you guys the recut because it's actually worth a watch. Like, it just changes things a little bit, and it changes it for the better. So it makes it a better movie, but holy fuck, Blair Witch is bad. I'm going Blair Witch, Breakman.
Eric?
I haven't seen either of these, but I'm voting for Blair Witch.
The Mega Trifecta, Blair Witch, I've said, is 100% of nothing ever happening. It's got this like buildup of something's going to happen, something's going to happen, something's going to happen, and then that ending that you like, I hate that ending because like I don't understand, like nothing's happening.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I didn't say I liked it. I said at least it was sort of kind of creepy with that guy up against the wall there and, you know, whatever.
Right, no, but I'm not saying like you like the movie. I'm saying like you like the ending. Like, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I don't necessarily like the ending. I just thought it was, like kind of, I guess, scary to see that dude just motionless up against the side of the wall there. But, yeah, I agree with you. The whole movie is just ass. Breakman, no doubt. Yeah, Breakman. Awesome. So,
That's it. That's the tournament. Yay!
We're way over, man, but I think we did a pretty fun... I mean, this is a fun tournament, don't you guys think? I mean, I think this is fun.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to see where it ends up, man, because there's a lot of good ones in here. Like, a lot of good
My favorite is the one we disagree, because, you know.
right. There's not very many, I don't think, that we'd really disagreed on for the most part, man. Like you said, we could have had a lot more horror movies in here. Oh, God. The premise of this is not to pick every single, you know, every single shitty movie, because we'd be here for months because there's so many shitty movies. But yep. I'm glad we've got some on here. I mean, this is relieving to me because like there's some movies on here like fucking Grease, which everybody exalts as like a great movie, Breakfast Club, fucking Crash, It's a Wonderful Life, like, you know, Perfect Storm. That's my pick to go all the way for sure, but holy fuck, there's some good ones on here, man. Mrs. Doubtfire, I'm like ecstatic that you guys agree with me on Mrs. Doubtfire, because holy fuck, is that a bad movie. Yeah. with a bad premise, you know, and a bad human being. It's just so bad. But all right, we got to get out of here, guys. Let's do our plugs. Breakman.
At least that character he plays, like later on, that what dentist or something. Like it's like, okay, yes, this is a bad character. Or well, what was it? Photos. That's what it was.
He 1 hour taking people's
photos.
1 hour photo. Yeah.
Yeah. Like at least they don't try to hide. Like, oh, like sugarcoat or anything. It's like, oh yeah, this guy's just really creepy. Stay the fuck away. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Mrs. Doubtfire was supposed to be this lucky feel good, you know, movie, and it's like, oh,
it would have been better as like a horror movie, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. They could. Oh yeah, perfect. It would have been a great movie along the lines of Orphan or something, you know, but whatever. All right, we got to get out of here, guys. Let's do our plugs. Breakman, plug away.
At RP Grinders on Twitter. I haven't checked to see if I've been unblacklisted on the other one. I don't really care. Twitter's turning into a shit show badly.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm getting banned almost every day for calling Nazis Nazis.
Right, which is a shame because Nazis fucking blow. And I'll never support anybody who says anything along the lines of what Kanye did or that piece of shit Nick Fuentes, or which is a Spanish name, by the way. Did the fucking Nazis care to look into who his parents are? And, you know, maybe.
Does Ye have any idea what the Nazis did to black people? For instance,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know that Holocaust thing? Yeah, black people were involved in that too. Mm. Dumbass, ye.
Yeah, anybody that was not white with blue eyes. Candace Owen is another one that's like that. That's black. That fucking protects white supremacists at every fucking turn. Fuck you too, you bitch.
She had that guy on her show that was saying that they should give reparations to slave owners.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, they went through so much, Breakman, the slave owners, you know, they went through so much.
They had their property taken from them, is what her argument was. Oh, like, are God. You serious?
Right. All right, Eric, your plugs.
You can find written reviews on BostonBastardBrigade.com, or if you want to listen to my audio reviews on the feed, there's that, and if you like either of those things, you want to support me, and there's a link to my Patreon in my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG. Send me as little as a dollar or however much you want per month, or maybe just a one-time donation, and hopefully I can get more games to review or better hardware with that money. So that's all I have to really say.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter as long as I'm on there, which might, to be honest, might not be much longer, at Frank Branches. You can follow me on any of the systems, RP Grinders. And if you want to follow Bernie, she's got a channel too on YouTube called Bernie Branches. Make sure you check that out. She's going to start doing actually, I was on her video with doing like you know, these taste tests of these different foods from around the world. We're getting these boxes, and I don't know. It's going to be fun. Today's video was pretty fun after our technical difficulties, but make sure you check, check out her channel. That's about it. You guys have anything else?
No.
All right, thanks everybody in chat.
I was just telling everybody in chat my deep, sad story, like the real reason I was hospitalized, the suicide attempt and everything was because of garbage factories.
It traumatized you with the kid, and that's why later on in life.
You had to get set to.
Yeah.
I had to get it out of my head somehow.
Yeah. Alicidra, Alien Gathering, All Roads Lead to the Farm, Another TV Viewer, Commander Root, Drapsnat, Holiat to Kazerman, I know I fucked that up, Nina Tella, related to Nutella, Peculiar ASMR, and Violet's TV. Thank you all for joining chat. That's all we got for you this week. I know it was an extra long edition. Take care. See you guys next week. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we're out. Later, everybody.
Okay.
She vaginalized this week? What the fuck? How dare you, Freak Five? You're exiled, son of a bitch. The gazzled.
Yeah, wrong, yeah.
Christmas ornaments? Really, Freak Five? Dare you. Fucking ping pong show in Tijuana, you son of a bitch. Yes, I saw your joke, you son of a bitch. Later. Yes, I saw your joke, Freak Five. Exiled, son of a bitch.